Because you know music. Yes, the tune into her every time. Yeah, China Nicole, that's her.
All right, John and Nicole, I want to say big love to you. Big love to you all over there and there and there and you and you and you and you. And yes, you too. Oh, I'm telling you, I need a chance to take a breath. Believe you me, oh my goodness. It is being like a roller coaster ride. And I'm thinking that every now and then you have a roller coaster ride. And you know what? It is a measure that you are really standing up for something and you are doing something. You're making a change. You're creating ruckus, as they would say. Oh, my goodness. But sometime I'm telling you, as you say, walk a mile in a man's shoes. And then not before you can really say, truly say, you know what it is. A lot of us can run off our mouth and we say things that we think we know. And a lot of us just run off our mouth because we have a trap too. for no other reason. And some of us are just mischievous. Yes. And some are just plain right evil. And some of us just plain right dangerous. But the snipers are going to be constantly out there when you're trying to do something, when you're trying to make a change. It is not an easy job. It is, you know, I had the illusion that when you're trying to do something good, that's what, you know, with your thinking, it is something good, that the whole world would embrace it and would understand. But actually, it is quite the opposite. And when you look at history, a lot of the folks that really kind of make some headway are the deceptive ones and those who kind of under the shadows and under the disguise of a lot of things some other agenda just kind of nestled between what they're saying. And no offense. No offense. I'm going to be saying something bad now and get myself into trouble. I don't know. I mean, if you think I get into trouble, fine. I don't think so. But some truths are not very well received. It's like when we had missionary going to Africa and telling our folks, oh, they're saving, they need Jesus and they need this white Christ and this foreign person. These folks had no clue, never heard about, for a lot of them. And while they're talking about a white Christ, they were taking every single thing from them. But somebody was there being so-called wonderful and nice and gentle. By the time you know it, Africa belongs to somebody else except who were the indigenous people. So we have those kind of a situations, the big smiles and all the wonderful hugs and the I love yous and sweet and those kind of words that trigger kind of belonging. They know how to do their tricks. Okay, don't let me get off on a tangent. Hey, it's Reggae Round Robin time. It is Caribbean radio show, the home of Reggae Round Robin. And this is something that I've dreamt about 3 years ago. I eventually get it into motion around about 6 months ago, officially. Reggae Round Robin. What is Reggae Round Robin? What is this big thing going around? What is all the noise about Reggae Round Robin? Actually, Reggae Round Robin came about with all of the chatters that I usually hear from artists. Listen, I cannot make a move. I mean, we have the talent. We can get jobs in Jamaica. A lot of us, and the words, Keeve, a lot of us are being kept down because we don't have the money in order to buy airtime and a litany of other really hard words to hear from real artists who are, some of them are really, really talented. And what we know about talent, when you have a talent and almost an obsession, quote unquote, or your resolve, it is tough when you don't have the outlet. I will contend that Jamaica, why we are having so much horrific violence sometimes is because we have people who have no outlet for their greatness. I always think that the greatest people come from the so-called stress and strain of poverty, in quotation as well. And poverty, for me, I never knew poverty as growing up. We never associate poverty with ourselves in that. You have a roof to live. Maybe it's certainly not a mansion, but of course it's yours. It is a mansion for you. You sweep that floor until it shines, if it's a dirt floor. I mean, you sweep your yard until there is no dust left on it with the rosemary leaf. You know, funny enough, I sweep my yard as a child growing up. Your mother said you go cut the broom weed and use rosemary to sweep my yard. And I'm talking about a poor woman. Now I come to this country and rosemary I cannot buy. I mean, that was amazing, amazing, amazing. We use rosemary because the leaves were so small and it really give your yard a nice, good sweep. That is exactly what I usually sweep my yard with because we had so much. We had so much, among other things. But it just to show you how life is. Sometimes you think about poverty and what you don't have, but you have so much. You just have to look around, and depends on how you look at poverty. Well, Reggae Round Robin is here to kind of change. If we want notoriety and if we want money, a financial gain, Reggae Round Robin, I think, is one of the answers. One of the answers, I'm not saying it is the total and total, all in all, be all, end all, but it's one of the answers. That would definitely could take reggae music and reggae artists and players of instrument and all of those involved in the industry a step further to their dreams becoming reality. And also to get great artists to get out there to the fans and give us some great music as well. Here how this works. In Reggae Round Robin, we're trying to get this umbrella. There's a big humongous umbrella called Reggae Round Robin, which is residing on FBook. We also have a page, a web page for it within crsradio.com. Under the Round Robin page, we are trying to there's so many artists want to get on, but we try to, we're not trying to take away nobody's amendment rights or whatever that is. But we're saying this group, we want it to be conscious artists. We want it to be lyrically conscious and artists who, you have some artists who have clean song and dirty song and so. I don't like the straddling at all. It's either you're a clean artist, so to speak, whatever that means, or you are or an unclean artist. Oh, that is so strange. But anyway, we're looking for conscious lyrical artists who are able to bring out inspirational messages, especially to our youth, because we know of a fact, we know that youths do listen to music. They're the biggest consumers of music. Our minds, I say our minds, I'm still a youth, our minds are like sponge. We are the formative years, a lot of them at youth, and whatever is said is translated, or whatever is put forward in those lyrics is translated by these minds that sometimes it doesn't reflect what maybe the artist was thinking of, but they young people can act out on some of these negative vibes or negative lyrics. Well, we've seen it so many times. How many times you have a kid go to see Kung Fu on the TV or in the theater, and when he comes back home, he slams the little baby brother down or slams the neighbor kid down and give him some Kung Fu kick, because this is his interpretation of it. And if the great guy, the star of the show, can do it, he's the star of his world, and he's going to seek to try and do that and duplicate that as well. So this is what we're talking about. We're getting all the artists, the conscious lyrical artists, under one umbrella, giving them the big opportunity that I hope Reggae Round Robin would offer, and I don't see any reason why it wouldn't. I have seen a lot of lots and lots of small gain just already in what we're trying to do. When these artists are under the same umbrella, when a fan come to visit on the page, they're able to scroll all around. Once you come there looking for Jack Kingdom, you're not just going to just see Jack Kingdom alone and maybe like his page. In scrolling up or down or sideways or left, right, or center, you're going to be seeing other artists, whether or not you like it. And the fact that you've seen it, maybe visually you stop and you look and you say, wow, you punch on one of those videos that is on the site underneath the artist. Their pictures are there. You physically get an opportunity to see that. Next time you see that picture, you'll recognize it. So for that reason, we get everybody under the same umbrella. Under this Reggae Round Robin page, we have... Under this Reggae Round Robin page, we do have I just get distracted here a minute. Let me just get one song up, and I'll take a short break and come back right back.
If we just stop and think for a while, yeah, now.
Japan. Yes, this is our Jamaican maestro, one of the foundation members of the great place we call Jamaica. I want to say big up Barry, wherever you are right now. Big up yourself. You know, we can't leave you out. Okay, just had to just take a little detour there a little bit. Back to Reggae Round Robin. Being explained, if you're just joining us, hey, big love and welcome in. Just have a seat and, hey, check out the weed room or green room. Doesn't mean that it has weed in there. That's just the name of the room. Forrest gave to that some time ago. Okay, just enjoy yourself. We have a lot of wonderful things in there. And we ain't have any meat or any such thing in there tonight. Sometimes we do something for the meat eaters, but strictly veggie tonight. Some Ital ginger beer and all them stuff there. I soon tell you what's in the weed room, all right? Okay, so we're talking about Reggae Round Robin, okay? We have this umbrella that we want all of the music, conscious musician, we have to paraphrase it with that, to come under this one umbrella. When you're under there, the opportunity that you will gain some fans, it is, multiply itself 1,000 times. If you're there, out there by yourself, and you're not a name artist, nobody will, know to come to your page. I mean, you're definitely out there doing your thing in the social networking. Eventually, somebody may, find you. But when you're under this one umbrella, hundreds of reggae artists under one umbrella. Think about how powerful that is in itself. I am not sure there is any other page on FBook that has housed all of the artists in one place, plus you get a sample of what their music is like with one of their YouTube video right there. So every artist get their pictures. So you want to get a nice picture, you know, free of background noises, you know, like the paper and a lot of stuff. Very nice professional picture. I always say, get a picture that evokes that kind of a connection to your fans and give you a kind of a spiritual connection in general with your fans. That when they see, they have that impression of you and they remember you and they can go to your particular page and support your page and your individual pages. So underneath this umbrella comes everybody. We are trying to get to start off the round robin. For those of you who don't know what round robin is, it is a simple principle of taking turns. Your turn, then my turn, then the next person's turn. And this is why we call for the unification of all people in the industry. And I'm going to talk about that in a little bit because, gosh, it is, for me, it is hard on me. I don't know if it's hard on anybody else, but this is a tough thing, much harder than I think it would have been. So we have everybody under the same umbrella. All artists, everybody have to do something for something. Nothing is for free. The only thing that Reggae Round Robin is free of is that you don't have to take money out of your pocket and give to nobody. I am not in this to collect one penny from any soul. I've never collected money from anybody, any artist, anyone, not even for an advertisement. So I'm not in here to do this for me. Just people understand that, because the first thing somebody want to say, well, how much, they're doing this for that. How much is in this for them? How much is in this for you? Nothing is in this for me. This is not the intention. The intention is to try my best to unify the music, to make sure that I can leave a little legacy. I can do something. We had Sultan Ali, which Sultan Ali is going to be on the show later on. We just had to just go back and get them, get him again. Thank you. He was so quickly response because I had planned kind of a different show, but we hope I'm trying to get some other folks in to just kind of fill in a little bit. But I mean, we hope that we'll still be able to carry off a great show like always. I want to say that. So Sultan is going to be coming, and Sultan, of course, for those of you who don't know, is the son of originator of ska, one of our pioneer in our country, Prince Buster. He was here with us last night. Thursday night, and he's going to be here on to talk how to artists, how to survive the downtime. And this is a hell of a big talk tonight, because a lot of artists get in trouble when the lights get turned off, and sometimes it get turned off too quickly, or sometimes it's just down to just switch on again. But however that is, it gets kind of a sticky in that point. So please tell your friend and call your friend. We're going to be probably able to link him up in the next, in the last hour of the show, because I had to do this quite quickly in the last hour of the show. But in the meantime, let me just continue to explain what is Round Robin. So we have everybody under the same roof. And what happened is that every artist that is involved in the movement, they're responsible to take at least 2,000 of their fan to the page, because the only way this can work is that if we have everybody under the same umbrella. So we know we have some people who just want to sit back and do nothing and reap the garden. We know that. That is how our world is made up. But that does, it's not going to work out that well with Reggae Round Robin. And we do have a system to check who is brought in, those 2,000 people and more, right? And it does give the opportunity to the artist to start to go out there and network more gorilla-ish. I call it guerrilla marketing. You have to go out there and guerrilla market this thing. So you get a better opportunity also to start one-on-one with your fan base. And that's what you should be doing anyway if you really want to build that kind of a rapport with your audience so they can support your music. You can't just have friends. Some people just come on your page just to fill up numbers. Some people say, I have 5,000 friends on my page. And these people only fill up numbers. You don't have 5,000 friends. You have 5,000 people on your page who are just filling up your page, preventing your friends who, you know what? A lot of your friends are usually not able to get on your page, because when you really establish yourself and people are getting to know you, your page is already up to 5,000. If you do a personal page, if you have your fan page, then you are up to the zenith on that. So always, if you're starting out artists, to do, really make your focus on your fan page rather than a personal page. And really, we shouldn't have a fan page that operates like a personal page that operates like a fan page anyway. I know I do it. I have the fan page for Caribbean Radio Show, but really you should have a fan page, which gives you a lot more latitude in terms of getting your numbers up past 5,000. So here you are having all of this, all of the artists. Say for example, we have 200 artists or 300 artists on the page, and everybody should bring in 2,000 of their fans. And you want to talk to your fans. Say, hey, this is a movement. Just don't just, like we do all the time, throw out something out there on your page and just say, hey, come to Round Robin. People are not going to know what Round Robin is. It's new. So you want to say, hey, fans, Round Robin is a new movement that just started. I would like you to help me, to help reggae music in the industry. And you have to be global too. You can't just be thinking about yourself. I find that a lot with a lot of musicians, they are really self. And sometimes you have to understand that people get competitive and they think about themselves and collecting just for themselves rather than getting global where you get much more fish, if that's what you're looking for. So once we get all of these fans underneath the page, and say we have between all 300 or 200, which this was going to be an ongoing thing because we have new artists every day, every time, and yet to be discovered. So this would not be a one-time thing. It is an ongoing preposition. Even if I'm not around to do this, this is supposed to be carrying on because this is not my thing. Because I'm not getting money. I started by me. I have the copyright. I have all of that. And talking about copyright, too, I hope there are some folks who I understand are doing and replicating and using the name out there. Please cease and desist, because that I am not going to be playing around with if people are out there using and distorting the name of Reggae Round Robin. Okay? Anyway, we'll talk about that at another time. So everybody's under the same. We've gotten 200,000 fans to like the page. And what will happen is that we will make, say, through a barrel system or some through some selection system, choose for the first, say 10 artists. Those 10 artists, we're going to put them up for a vote. So the fans can actively participate and keep their interest. So for every week we have 10 artists up. Say Jack Kingdom gets 10,000 votes, and they say they want him to go up for the Robin. Okay, we pick him. In the meantime, those 10 artists, we're featuring their music. We're playing their music on the on a special program we have. So they will be getting all of that exposure too as well. So all for that week, we'll be doing their music, talking about them, interviewing them, and so on and so forth. So, okay, Jah Kingdom, so we start the Robin on a Friday, and every Friday we'll do this. So Jah Kingdom is up for the draw. We will put out a SOS and say, or whatever we want to call it, our speed, whatever, and say, hey, all our members, please go on iTunes or Lowtune or whatever. Hopefully, by that time, we may be able to have our own download system. It's not hard, but I have not thought about it yet. Too much just to think about right now. So what will happen is that you will, Jah Kingdom will put out his song, I Don't Love You, I Adore You. And we say, okay, folks, the song of the week is going to be I Adore You. Everybody go to the download site and download this one song for 99 cents or dollar, whatever the amount is going to be. You just have to choose that one song. Now, the law of the average say probably this won't happen, that 200,000 fans are on the page and everybody just runs to the site and download the music. So, but just for instance, if everybody downloaded Jah Kingdom's song that Friday, he would have in his pocket $200,000. None of that money is coming to me. None of that money is coming to anybody who is dealing with Reggae Round Robin. Not a single cent. Because a lot of folks, some people find it hard to give their money to their own people, you know. It is strange how we believe sometimes. But nothing. This is not for money. This is not for nothing. Maybe later on down the road, we will have auxiliary things set up. Like I said, maybe we'll have our own download machinery where if you were paying 2 cents to iTunes, I don't see why you shouldn't pay the 2 cents to operate what we have. And majority of that money would certainly go to our scholarship program, because that's what we do here best at Caribbean Radio Show, CRS Radio. Almost every presenter have a charitable organization that they work towards and they support here. So anything that we would get from this goes towards Jamaica, back to Jamaica, because that's what we want to do, build the foundation, in particular in the area of education. So Jah Kingdom get $200,000. Maybe he's the first person who get a draw, whoever Jah Kingdom is. I don't know if there's such a person. So he would have $200,000 in his hand, less whatever iTunes or whoever is going to charge him for that. But say he has $200,000, and he'll be responsible for $200,000. Now, this would be a nice big kick in the teeth, let's say that, for Jah Kingdom. He'll be able to go out and build a studio if that was his desire. He'll be able to buy a couple more blocks to build his house. He'll be able to take care of some of those children a little bit better. He'll be able to do, and of course he's going to buy, and I have to make this a little fun, his gold nose and gold teeth and gold eye as well. And we know we're not going to get away from that, okay? So whatever his regalia is, he can ante it up and all of that. What will happen also by that is that if the media, who reggae music is not getting, you're getting its and bits of media coverage, but not from mainstream media unless you do something bad, then the whole world comes down on you and spread it across the world. But when something good is done in small portion, nobody hears about it. So what will happen is that media has to come out and look for us. We ain't going to look for them anymore. Every single week, if you have 200,000 tracks, there is no Jamaican reggae artist that sells 200,000 tracks of his music in any year, probably, period. 200,000, probably, in certainly not in one day, not in a month, right? You have international reggae artists who does that, and this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to say, hey, we are the foundation of this music. Let our children, the foundation members, whoever created this music, whoever their sweat and blood in this music, eat something, not crumbs, but food that is substantial and can sustain you. And I don't know if anybody is as angry about this as I am. And if you were angry, all of us would have gotten this done already. But I think we are content with little pickings. And once we're belly full and we can get a little bit more pickings, it's okay. I think we should stop that. We should stop that. The music is our music. And everybody else is having eat it, tile it, seat, and we is still using pit latrines. Come on, folks. You know I'm speaking to truth. But here, this is not really for the contention, but it is for to open our eyes and see that we need to come together in order to preserve our music. This is our history. This is of the veins of our ancestors. Okay? So we need to do something to preserve it. We cannot let reggae music get out of our hands like ska and rocksteady and all of those music. I live in what you call, no pun intended, redneck country. This is what they call it, totally. There is not one music called reggae on any one of these stations. Up in the hills, up in the mountain, nowhere here. It's strictly, strictly country music. Strictly. You're going to carry a reggae band here and have a reggae concert here and it sell out. You couldn't do it because unless it's a Bob Marley or, you know, very, very, very high-profile person, and that would have to be advertised so long in order for it to do very well here. That's what I'm telling you. So when we have this kind of a situation where everybody else is doing the music, and I'm not upset about folks doing the music because you can never be upset about music. Music is freedom. Music is for everybody. This is why the music is so good, because reggae music is freeing people from every corner of the earth. That's the vibration of the drum there. The drum. The humming, the hawing, the mooing, the cooing. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure you do. So you have that covering and you have everybody. And say everybody responding to us. Because people who out there love reggae music will support you. If you as an artist present this to them. I cannot present this to your fan. I go out there and I do what I can do, but I cannot present this to your fan. You are the person who have to go to your fan and tell them what you want, tell them what you're involved with, and sell them the program. So, okay, and so you have all of this going on. So this week, Jah Kingdom get his draw, and he get $200,000. And he's fantastic. He's high in his horse. And everybody who is in the world come in to interview him or even find out what reggae round robin is in. By time, we have interest. When you have success, everybody gravitates toward so-called success. Or everybody gravitates to where the crowd is. So if Jah Kingdom, we had 200,000 fans, and Jah Kingdom was known to have gotten $200,000. Believe it or not, all of the foundation members, them spiritually and bona fide, who even gone, would have come up and say, hey, I want my piece of the pie too. So everybody, I think, at that point would start to rope in. And therefore, the fan base would have increased. Say, so for example, we now have 1 million fans. What do you think? When Jah Forever get his draw next week, he has the potential of getting $1 million. So this is why we don't want to start the round robin at just $10,000 or $5,000, because we have so much artists to get through, and it's an ongoing thing, and you may never get a chance to come back around, because this is not really a circle. It is more or less a straight. It's linear. It's not circular. It's linear. Since you don't have to put up anything, everybody that comes in who is willing to put in the work to get the fans in, everybody comes along will get an opportunity at this Robin, okay? So the more successful this go and the more you get out of there is the more the fan base will increase and the potential for you, the person getting the other draw, to have more money increases also. Now, if you're going to get reggae, is a popular music. It surfaces throughout the entire world. Is on. I don't know who doesn't get an opportunity to hear or sing reggae. But we are not in mainstream. We have nothing for ourselves. Basically, we don't have a big show on mainstream TV called the Reggae Grammy Awards. We don't. We are part of their thing. And because of we're part of their thing, and we're not recognized, although Bob Marley make it possible, and I have to call simultaneous with that Miss Esther Anderson, who makes this possible for Bob Marley, made the sacrifice for Bob Marley as well. So although Bob Marley did such a great job, and a lot of us pivot on that shoulder of Bob Marley, reggae music is not mainstream. It is not mainstream. When the Grammy comes up, there's a little trick of tape that goes by. Hey, Jah Kingdom was nominated and won the prize for best reggae artist. If we had our own thing, we have our people, we have our own television, we have enough money to produce our own television show and bring reggae music and put her where she belongs, and Jamaica. We wouldn't have this confusion now, like Hawaiian reggae, French reggae, German reggae. Don't that matters to anybody who is from Jamaica, who is in this business? That all of a sudden we have different nation attaching their name to reggae music? I think that is a sign. If we can't see the signs, then that reggae music is being truncated and owned by other folks. Do you have, let me ask you, do you have Hawaiian hip-hop, Hawaiian jazz, Hawaiian Tchaikovsky? No, you don't. We don't even have, in our history book, you have to look far to know that ska belonged to Jamaica. Countless and countless of people have testified that their reggae festival all over Europe, no Jamaican is presented there. Then that is a slap in the face. That is a slap in the face. Who are making... No, okay. Let me take a breath. Take a breath with me. Okay. Who are making the biggest money in reggae? Being producers? Being booking agents? Being artists? Who are making the biggest... I asked the question. Who are making... Who can almost guarantee they're going to get food on their table through reggae music? When you look at the booking agents, the producers, the artists themselves, the production houses, look who owns these. Ask the majority of Jamaican people who are producing music how much money they're making, and ask others how much money they're making, and see if we can compare. No, we can't compare. I'll answer that. We can't compare. Look at the billboards. Look at the record sales. And you'll understand. The writers. I mean, everybody who is in this. The players of instrument. I mean, Jamaican instrumental players. There is no reason why somebody should get up and even think about playing music in Jamaica anymore. Because Pro Duel has displaced them. Very few people, up-and-coming artists, have money to employ an entire band to vibe the music like we used to do at Lee Scratch Perry, at Beverly's, and all of the other studios then. We don't have that. You have to be well, well established to get a band to go and lay your tracks. It means that, of course, we welcome change in the music, but what kind of change are we talking about? Reggae music has certain integrity, and we're losing that to something else. And I don't think that we can afford to do that. This is too important. Okay? So here we are with this big, big organization. And, you know, it is so ironic and tragic, too, that you have people who are trying to compete with this. And everybody, because you have a chat with them and they feel they want to hone this, they go about and everybody trying to do a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and they're trying to copy the what you're doing, and they're trying to fragment this, and they try. That will not ever help us. It will never help us. This is why we're in the dichotomy where we are now. This is why we are where we are. Because 1826, Marcus Garvey has been talking about unite. Every one of their songs them that we sing about unity and love. And yet still, it is like a farce. It's like night and day. The people who are singing about unity and love are not united and they are not in love. Worse, the people who want to make money out of this, they are in here trying to cite this one against that one. And of course, there are a lot of us who are desperate, who cannot see, who are trying to fill their belly. And of course, you can't wrong them. They have to go the survival instinct kicking. And you're going to feed me, I am going to take it no matter what it is. If it even means sometimes some of us, as we call, quote unquote, needs to sell out, we prefer sell out and survive and pay for it later. But if we, in the first place, got ourselves together, support under one umbrella, stop this cat and mouse, stop making opportunistic viruses penetrate our community. And when I say viruses, I don't mean bad thing, because people can extrapolate things and really make this thing hard for them, not for me. And those people who are out there who are listening, make it hard for us. Call up a sister. Talk to me. Don't sit there and don't talk to me. Or sit down there and say, hey, here she goes again, and go off with your little clique, because we know all of the little cliques. Listen, you know, sometimes people, because you're here, and sometimes because people don't say certain things, people don't understand. Somebody cannot know what you know you know. When you're training, and I won't go into that, when you're training a certain, sometimes people hear somebody or see somebody and they don't know necessarily who they are or even what they are for. When you're training a particular way, there are certain things that if you put one and one together, I can tell you who you are. There's certain intonation in your voice that I can tell you what you are. If you're trained in certain things, which I won't say anything. So somebody is distorting a truth or telling you that you say X and you did Y and do that. And, you know, you put certain word and you hear a he, a ha. You know exactly where you are. That we are not difficult. We are simple. Your body language never lies Although your head is saying yes and you're saying no, you must know what to look for and what to listen for to get your answers. We need to stop. We in this business of music, we're all going to lose. We're fighting a losing battle because you cannot beat somebody who knows the game. If we're controlled by other folks, if our distribution is controlled by other folks, if we don't control communication, if none of that is in our control, we are holding the blade of the knife. That's what we're doing in reggae music right now. And they're going to be me who are going to be losing their voice to tell our people this, but they won't ever listen. Because they're looking, well, here she, oh, she don't, oh man, me and you can do this, and me and you can do this. And then that break up and they go on. How many people come into my radio station and they sit and they're there for a little while, they learn the business, rather than stay and build up the station? I want my own thing, man. Oh, I don't like when she say this, so I want my own thing. And they get up, and I have lived to see many of them don't last 3 months. Many of them don't last 3 months. This is not an easy job. I mean, you talk NBC, CNBC, they're bawling because listeners are not people who are going to sit down and listen to you every single day. They're not loyal people. Very few loyal people you have who are going to sit down and listen to you when you're moping and yelling and screaming and all of that. They're going to shut you off. And a lot of them shut me off and shut me out and take my name and, oh, I'm this and I'm that and I'm that. But that is the game. What we need to find and what I'm trying to do, I am human. I'm a human person. I am not any divine anything that I don't fall to human behavior. I eat food. I have emotions that I cannot control. I don't know where they're coming from. This is the bad thing about human being. I try my best to do my best as a human person. I'm striving to do that. So if somebody is more ahead in a lot of things than me, we come and we talk. We understand. If Bill Gates and his people, them who was in the basement, who never had food to eat, who never had the pants to wear, who never had nothing but their resolve, he wouldn't be the richest man in the world now. Michael Dell, look at Google. All of those little boys sitting around. Mr. Zuckerberg owns us. He's not even 30 years old. But they sat together. They did what they did together. And there is so much billions that they cannot even count. Everybody get to eat. Google, the one guy who decided he didn't have any faith, who said, you know what, man, my mother sent me to school. You guys can take your Google foolishness and go. Get me out of here. I am going. Who is crying now? Everybody at Google is a millionaire. No person like me, look like me, works at Google at any $1 million anywhere. No person like me works at Mr. Gutenberg unless it's cleaning the floor. I've never seen any in a picture. There's none of the CFO or the CEO or any of those. Because those people got together and stuck together. And when they had a conversation or argument, they talked it out and they stuck together. That's the only way you can build anything. We are so liberal, everybody, and we are easily gravitate to the people who are not looking like us because we don't have any respect for us. But if somebody else was here other than me, unfortunately, this reggae round robin would have flew a long time ago. Instead, we have the people that I am trying to help criticizing, I mean, forming against me with other entities who don't know our history, who don't know my thinking and my thoughts and my idea, who have nothing to do with this. But they form side with them. Now, for me to be talking like this, it hurts full, because we shouldn't have to be doing this. The reason why we have a round robin is because we're not being dealt with fairly. Tell me, breathe with me on this one. How many international artists who has get their craft from Jamaica, they're international artists who can speak Jamaican patois better than me? Any day. That's not their language. That's not their tongue. Jamaican patois is a certain kind of vibration, spiritual vibration. Listen to how we create and recreate our words. Listen, when a Jamaican speak to you, and him can you speak 10 words, and it's one word, 10 times, 10 different vibrations. It is something special. You have people who have perfected our craft better than us. And if that happens, don't you think it's time we really put away our nonsense and our foolishness and get together before it's too late and stop focusing on me, how I deliver what I deliver, because I'm not going to change. I'm not going to change. This is me. This is my vibration. If you cannot deal with my vibration, don't fight against me with somebody else, because you're only killing yourself. And we're only killing our own nation. And it's going to be too late when we understand this. We're going to be too late. We are fighting, literally fighting for survival. Some reggae artists are not doing too badly. But we don't want to say that. We want to say all artists have an equal opportunity to get their craft out there in the marketplace if they're willing to do the work. In Europe right now, we have a black book against a lot of artists. Even me, sometimes I have a lot, my own little thing, because artists disrespect the platform. You have hundreds of listeners out there who listen to my station because they hear a certain artist coming in on the show. And the artist no turn up, or the artist turn up 1 hour late. We have to be more professional. We, as an artist, you're employed by your fans. Without them, you don't have a job. And I think this is what we're going to be here. Sultan Ali is going to be coming to us and talk to us about when the curtain drawn, how does an artist survive that? When they put you up on the pedestal and they decide they're going to cut you off because your ideology, and this is a lot of reggae artists coming out of Jamaica, get themselves in a real hot water. I hear Queen Afrika get into big, big problem. This week here, big, big problem because of her own personal belief. She just uttered two words, and it is big world news. As an artist, you cannot even have your own opinion. That's the sacrifice you pay. If you have your own opinion about some social, you know what I'm getting at. You can't say it. It have to stick with you if you want to be number one on top of that billboard. Or you have to be strong enough to say, hey, you know what? If we're going to use that word, and I use it lightly, quote-unquote sell out, or if you want to hold fast to certain your belief, you're going to suffer the consequences. Some of us cannot live through it. Some of us survive. And some of us, the other people come out to support us. We are not very supportive of each other. So if an artist out there, we see him one, we grab him and mash him down and trampling down with everybody else. I talked a couple of weeks ago watching a film with Japanese, how they do their Japanese artists. If a Japanese artist is out there, just put out an album, every single person who is a fan literally go in and buy 20, 30 of the same album just to show their support. We don't do that. Our artists have to give away their music. Now, we talk about Jamaica, you know, and producing a piece of music. A lot of money, and it's tough because them don't have it. But in order for them to have the music industry has changed, they have to give away the music in hope that you will hear it and offer to get them into your town. Lots of them never get there. Never get there. This is how Reggae Round Robin would help. This is how Reggae Round Robin will help. Because those of you who can't get visa, whether it be, you know, somebody look at you and say, you know, come back out to United States or Canada or Europe or any part, you don't have to leave your country in order to live and have your dream come true. Because with Reggae Round Robin, if we get and when we get the support of the fans, you will be sitting at home able to make $200,000, even $10,000, to get $10,000 one time for an up-and-coming artist is a nice little jump to your career. And even if we do $10,000 every single week, something is happening for artists who would not otherwise be happening, getting anything happening. $10,000 can feed you for a while in a Jamaica. Can do something for you. Can put out two or a tune that one of them, two of them will make it because you'll be able to put in money to do a better thing. So this is where we are looking at. Look at the big picture, folks. Don't slaughter the messenger before even the message get out. Fighting against me or fighting against the messenger is not going to help. If you want to be number one wherever you want, I mean, why are you the only person to eat and nobody else should? You know, talking about that, one of the big things that we were supposed to be talking about this evening on the show, and I've talked about this on many occasions, many occasions. Hey, want to say big love to the big man, Mr. Number One Producer in all of the land. He's leave from New York to all of the land now. Mr. Mightyful 13, Mr. Fitzroy Francis. I want to thank you so much. And Forrest, I think she's coming back spiritually uplifted and, you know, all of the glory and her halo is cleansed and all of that good thing, I'm sure, happening to her. Make sure you are here tomorrow, noontime, live from Costa Rica. We're going to be having the wonderful, wonderful Forrest in the house tomorrow at noontime, every Sunday here at noontime. Want to say big up to all of you over there at CRS Radio, those who are listening in on LinkedIn, those who are on TuneIn Radio. Want to say big up those who are on your browsers. Want to say big up to you. We had some contributors this evening, don't seem like. We're still holding. We're still waiting. Okay. Let's talk about something that I have talked about on many. I've put up posters out there, and a lot of you did not like them, but I still continue to put them up out there. If an artist, when we think about what music is, it's about sharing. It's about really trying to get everything out there. We're on Mr. Zuckerberg Real Estate. And a lot of us, and I know how that is, we owned it. This is our little piece of squatting on Mr. Zuckerberg's place. And we're going to make it our own, fix it up. We get tools in order to make it look like us, represent us, etc. But when I think it comes down to music, and you're into this thing as music, you have fans. Not only you have fans, you have supporters or as your booking agent, producers, and of course the big, big place we call media. Without media, I'm sure you won't get where you have to go anytime soon. Booking agents, they do have their fan page, and they want advertisement. They want to get their page out there and their message out there to get new artists or whatever they do. You have producers, they want to probably scout, they want to scout new artists as well. You have, and many other part aspect of the music industry, writers, magazines, and so on and so forth, that helps to make this a team. And of course, the big one encompassing what we call the media. Now, as an artist, or anybody who is in this industry, that private your page, I've put out many times posts about this. I really cannot understand that concept. And pardon me for saying this. First of all, I think it is downright selfish. And when somebody sees somebody doing that, you know, it kind of just throw me off balance a little bit. Throw me off balance. If you are privating your page that nobody else should come on your squatting real estate but you, because you want it to be in a certain order, and I understand that, but at the same time, those who are privating their page, you see them go everywhere with their gorilla, and these are really gorilla marketers. You put up a post, and I put up a post of, please donate to palace1.org. And somebody right underneath that just drop a post. A Rastaman, this woman, gig up and blah, blah, blah. Just drop it with no regard that Palace One has nothing to do with somebody telling somebody to lift up them clothes and cock up and skin out. So this artist just come and drop on there without even liking the page or anything, drop their music and what they want. That is worse guerrilla marketing. And I don't know how you can do that and get away. That is so irritatingly, almost evil and totally disrespectful. If you want to put something on somebody's page, don't look to do things like that, because a lot of times somebody gonna get irritated and, you know what, report you. So if you're gonna post on somebody's page, start a new post. You don't want to be in problem with folks, because people are evil enough to just grab your page and just report you. And Google makes no mends about really blocking you. Somebody blocked my page, and I know who it is. Luckily the other day I got I'm telling you, the universe sometimes is so good, it's not even funny. If you have to live a certain, it's hard, but the universe always comes to help you. In a lot of ways. So, here is what happened. An artist that I put up with forever, trying to get him on my show, and to the point where never an artist has ever done that on many occasions, they tried. And I tried to post the information, and let me tell you, this is how our people are. Post the information about even the show on their page. And you know what? They blocked me. But they don't know. Luckily, since recently I got a very good connection with my friends on Facebook. Lucky me. But the day is going to come up that I'm going to confront them, but in a different way. people will hurt you because you're doing something positive. Or they'll hurt you because you have an idea that they wish they had. And they will tell people to block your page. So when you're doing your thing as an artist, you have to be very, very careful. Because this is the most powerful social media you have. And if you lose out here, you're crippled almost. You're almost crippled. This could help you to get your message out there. So don't be going around and dropping your music under a chat that's already started. And especially if it is totally irrelevant, you just come and fling your things into it. The other thing, if you private your page, if nobody is deemed acceptable to post their message on your page, you should never, ever, ever at any time post your message on anybody's page. That's only fair. Your thing is your thing, but everybody's thing is yours and theirs. And a lot of times I see artists who have their page private, and even some other folks who have their page private, and when they come to deposit something on your page, they do two and three of the same thing. Now, how can, I never understood that. Maybe I try to understand people too much. How can you do that? How can you do that? If I am really playing your music and supporting your music as a radio show, and in particular if I'm a radio show, and I'm supporting you, you're not even coming to my radio station to listen to me. But, of course, you know, when that new song dropped, oh, Dr. Evans, I mean, boy, me have a new song, yeah, no, you hear it yet? I get those all the while. And my response, you definitely know how it is. Yeah, I know. Oh, please don't tell me. You got a new song? Oh, hello, hell. Oh, you know, of course. That's because that's the only time I see you come around. Well, you know, it's busy in the studio. I say, okay, but you're not busy enough to drop your song today and the other times when you've dropped it, though. I'm straight up like that. And then we come into a confrontation. Oh, I mean, you want people to come and listen to your station, a whole heap of internet station out there, you know. You think me can't come and listen to your station all the while? But you know what I say to that? If you cannot be courteous enough to me, to listen to my station often, then I should not be playing your music often. Some folks out there never listen to the station, but they want to pile up your box with their music. It don't work like that. It's a one and wash the other in this thing. I need people to promote my station. How are you going to throw your music for me to go out there and look people to listen to your music? I don't work with you. And after all, if you have your 5,000 people on your page, you need to say, hey, I'm going to be having an interview with CRS Radio. Hey, guys, come over and listen to what I have to say. That's how you do this thing. So they come over to CRS Radio. They find out that, hey, we do 1 hour interview with artists, that on 2 hours interview and 3 hour interview, we try to get archives, all of the foundation member, we try to do things differently. I mean, there's a loudmouth woman over there who scream and yell and is tyrantous and all of those stuff. And, you know, I don't like her tyrant thing, but there are a couple of other good shows like Forrest, who comes from Costa Rica, with telling us how to plant food and how to grow vegetable and all of those kind of stuff. Or Ruler Brown, who is wonderful and nice, who has all of the beautiful music and all of those stuff. You know, you don't have to listen to me. Not everybody can listen to me. Right? Sometimes I'm even afraid of myself. But anyway, we cannot be in this business and be selfish like that. It is plain selfish. Your page must be in order, and everybody else is tekitaban, as we call it, tekitaban. Not nukosa. And it also tell me that the people who private their pages do not understand what Google food is and what indexing is. If you're the only person who is putting material on your, and most of us are not blogging on our page and not really writing anything, we're putting pictures, and now Google is indexing pictures, I think. And not all of your pictures would put up because these pictures don't belong to you. So your name is not coded on the picture. So you don't even get credit for those pictures. It's always somebody else's thing. You're not blogging, so there's no what you call content, relevant content for Google food on your page. So, and you're not blogging consistently and sharing consistently, so your page and your information get indexed or Google gets its food. So you are doing yourself a disservice. When you're not on your page, there is no movement on your page. There is no quality anything on your page. So your selfishness is bringing you down. When other people put other stuff on your page and your page keep moving because people says, oh, you know, I don't want to do that because, I mean, I have a big argument with artists, three artists this week. And every week when I find them out, it's the same thing. I can usually write the story and just put it somewhere and just lift it up and paste it to them. Oh, I see you just post on my page, and everybody who posts on my page, I usually link back to them when I'm sitting at the computer to see that I am able to post on their page. If not, I says, oh, I see you just post on my page nicely. I'm very sorry, but since it's not a reciprocating relationship, then I'm not able to allow you to post on my squatter's land. Also, furthermore, since you claim to be my friend and I'm not invited to your house, I have to unfriend you. I'm very sorry. And every time I find that out, I have to unfriend him because you are no use to me. I cannot post on your page. So if I have 1,000 people and I cannot post on 500 of them, my message is not going to go out to your people, your 5,000 people or the people who come to your page. So I am at a disservice keeping you on my page and you are not my friend. I am not understanding why anyone would take this kind of posture. If you're in music, one would want to think that there's a kind of spirituality in this. It's a duality. We're out there. You're supporting my thing, and I'm supporting your thing. When you support my thing, you are supporting me. When I'm supporting you, you are still supporting me as well, vice versa. It's not that when I put my thing, it's only my thing go out there. Because when my station get big, it means that your music is not going to be playing to 1 million plus people like we have on CRS Radio. It is going to play to 10 million people. Huh? When an artist tell me, oh, hey, Dr. Eva, I can't come listen to your station all the while. There is thousands of stations out there I have to go listen to. Then I realize that you're not thinking. An artist do not have to go visit 5, 10, 20, 30, 40 stations. They don't have to. You visit, if everybody build one station, and it's not being monopolizing, and especially if you're internet, because if you have 100 million listeners on a station, where else do you need to go? Yes, you need to go to another station that has 200 million listeners and the one that has 100 million listeners. But oftentimes, maybe you're not able to get to them. So if you stay here with me, I am not saying every day. I am not saying every day either. And you come in and help me build what I have, then you will have more people in one area. Because when I get an artist on my show, and you sitting down, we're not commercial, we don't make money from this. I never make a cent from this. If I even make a couple of dollars, I usually put it in Palace. And for those folks out there, listen, we're down to the last 10 seconds of Palace getting the scholarship. Rula Brown, as we speak right now, I am just, sometimes I'm sorry for myself, but I'm so sorry for this man sometimes, because it's just night and day and night and day, plowing and plowing and begging for $5 and $1 and $2 that we never get to help our own people. And when I talk like that, people kind of get upset with me. But I have to. We managed to get 65 scholarship, and you have to talk to people over and over. Beg your $5, beg your $10, or beg your $1. And people can't find it in their heart to give. It is heartbreaking. I have interviewed every single week, at least 3 artists a week, play hundreds of songs. Our 24-hour radio have a mile of songs that are played by artists. And I've never had one artist call and say, hey, Dr. F, I'm going to give you $5 towards Palace. We started a new scholarship the other day, the Natasha Brown Scholarship, the little 4-year-old girl that was beheaded, to keep her name raised high above all of this evil. And not one artist called to say, Dr. F, give me. As a matter of fact, once you start to ask them, give you a dollar, they're missing. They're missing. And one man will call me and say, I asked him for, I put out an SOS last year for artists to just give. We adopt De La Vega City Basic School that we're trying. We build a lunchroom for them because the school was going to be closed for 65 kids to be displaced like that, rushed up and dig up and dig down and get them to get their little lunchroom to build. I mean, ask for just a couple of dollars to buy some ice cream for the kids that last December. And this man turned around and would slaughter me. When this man comes on my, Don Minot is the artist, Donald Minot, somebody who me play his music left, right, and center. When that man comes on and I blow up, listen to my shows if you can go back when he comes to visit. He never comes to visit and I don't blow him up as the biggest person in Connecticut. This man is an artist. When I asked him, he went and tell everybody that I am asking artists to give money and I want people to listen to his station. I was so shocked, I nearly puked on myself. And I am going to be calling out artist's name because it is not fair for us to be sitting here and somebody, and on his Facebook page, he slaughtered me, called me, me's just a DJ. Me's just a DJ. And Donald Minot cannot step in my shoes. You know, these are what artists does to DJ, because we're just a DJ. We're sitting here. We have nothing to do because nobody, they're not paying us to do anything. But when they go to Jamaica and they want to get their music bus, they have to pay every single penny to the T, because those DJs, they're not accepting anything other than big bucks. If they want to get their thing in the papers, they have to pay them every bit of it. And the minute the song gets to a certain point and they their money run out, that's where the chart run out too. We're sitting here as DJ night after night and day after day and playing music for folks who are going to turn around and disrespect us. Because you know why? There's another DJ out there who don't know what they do and maybe don't care what they do to us, but they're sitting in their room and that is another body in the room and think they're supporting. But let me tell you, if you ask those artists to, okay, run a little ad with me, man. You're sitting here and I'm blowing your music all over the world. Run a little ad with me. You shouldn't have to ask them to do that. Some of these artists also would not give you a courtesy and say, hey, Dr. F, let me send you a jingle or let me do a dub plate for you. They will never, they want to charge you. I played Donald Minot's song till it scratched. Literally, he never offered me to give me a jingle. But yes, still, I'm a DJ out there that is just like a DJ. Because I say, hey, put up a little money to send to Jamaica so they could have some ice cream. Ice cream. I mean, I'm talking about $10,000, $2 or $5. And I was blasted all over for that. Came into my room, disrespect me and disregard me. In my room, because I pay for this. This is not free. And when you come into my room, it is common courtesy. This is not like when you go on F-Book that you don't have to pay for yet. But it's a matter that you have to pay for this. I pay for this. And you come in, step into my room, at least say, hi, room. Hi, Dr. F. That is common courtesy. And I'm playing your music. I have an artist, you know, and he's not the only one. And as they hurt me, and as they put your name out, and you have to do this to let artists know that you have feelings and what you're doing, and they tell you, hey, you need me. You need my music. That's not true. We would love to play a variety of music. We are giving you an opportunity. A lot of people, when they go and pay these guys, you go through the publicists, and the publicists say, well, you give them the money to do the... how many of these artists get a write-up in the paper without having to pay for it? They have to pay for it. How many of them get played on RFM without having to pay for it? Very few. How many artists give an internet DJ, the so-called DJ, the time of the day? If they come into your room, you know, they will tell you, listen, you're a 24-hour station, or you are an 8-hour station, or just 2 days a week. You cannot play every single artist's music in those times. You have to try and play the artist them that supports you. Oh, you can't turn up to an artist, my page, and say, hey, me no hear me music on your on your station. And you're not even coming there to listen. Who are going to listen to your music if you don't turn, if you don't come around and listen to that and bring your thing through? You know, this is just what it is. And this is what we have to do. We have to support each other. An artist cannot find, should not have to. And the thing about, you know, life is a strange thing. The stone that the builder refused should be the cornerstone one of these days. You understand? So a lot of us, a lot of you who want to really go out there and spread bad name about a DJ, we so-called DJ, come on, man. Look at the many hours that you have to sit down and prepare these things, prepare these music. Look at the equipment. To buy a decent mic is $140. To buy an arm for your mic is what, $60? To buy your puffer for your mic, what, $15? Whatever. To buy the encasement. I mean, for you to buy a mixer, a good mixer, $200-something. You have to get a good computer. Artists will send you their song and tell you to go on Reverb Nation as if you work with them. They have no respect for you and pick up their song rather than labeling their song and send it to you properly. You must go pick up their song. And if you tell them, hey, I'm just giving you a little advice here. Hey, pick this up a little bit. You know, this is how you do your song so we can find it on the computer quickly. If an artist send me some music, and I do this every week because no matter how long I do it for, I still get the same problem. And if an artist sends me a music, that King Bob sends me a music, I will know King Bob's name. So if King Bob drops in my room and I look in there when I do and I see King Bob, I am going to big him up. And I'm going to hustle and find King Bob, any song for King Bob. But if King Bob sends me his music, 10 track, and one is track 1, track 2, track 3, track 4, and everybody send me their track like that, how would I know which track is King Bob's track, please? I know I'm good, but I'm not that good. Even if you send me your tracks like this, I don't love you. I am trying to love you. That is track 1, I love you. Track 2, I don't love you. Track 3, I'm trying to love you. How am I going to find that if other artists have the same name? Not only that, when King Bob come into the room, I am not going to remember the song I Don't Love You or I Love You. But I know King Bob's name. I just run to King Bob, pull up everybody on the K, and there is King Bob and all of his songs. That's how the computer pulls up the song. That's how we know who you are. But if you just put track 1, track 2, and track 3, how am I supposed to know who sings the song, what the name of the song is? And if maybe I have a photographic memory, no. And 2 weeks' time, 3 weeks' time, I can't remember who is I Love You. A lot of you have the same name for same title song. Which one of these is I Love You? Do I play the song first and then say, oh, I don't really know who this artist is, but if you know who this artist is, hey, call me and let me know. Call me and let me know. That's not the way that you want your music to be introduced. Or if I play the song, I don't introduce it at all because I don't know who the song belongs to. Every week. For 3 years I've been saying this, and every single time I get music. If you're really interested in an artist, so we connected, and the artist send you some music. We don't have 100 hands to help us. We don't have 100 hands to help you. So what we do, we have to go, is our responsibility to go through our email and search and find out who this artist is and go and change it and rename the song and go, when would we finish our job? But of course, we're just a DJ. We don't know how to do those technical things. So these are stuff that artists have to consider. when you're sending your song to just the DJ on the internet, you're really getting your practice that when CBS call or Sony call or any one of these big producer call, you have something professional. You don't hit me up in my inbox and say, hey, go listen to this tune here on Reverb Nation. Hey, listen to this tune and tell me what happened. Can you imagine how much time in the world I would have to do anything else? So artists have to have their thing ready. When you see me or any DJ on there, I know this is not a very formal industry, but you know what? Play formal. That will get you a long way. It would certainly get you a long way. Hi, Dr. M. Hey, Caribbean Radio Show. You know, I just listened to your show last night, and boy, you're really doing a good job. Thank you so much for really supporting up-and-coming artists. I have some new tunes that I just do. Would you mind considering giving me some airplay? What format do you play in? Is it MP3 or M4A? Please let me know. And I will forward them to your email as soon as possible. That is professionalism. Now, if an artist even have some music where I would consider a no play, believe you me, I'm going to make an effort to say, hey, you know, this is somebody, if they get a good little coaching, they can improve themselves because they've taken the time. Artists believe for some reason they're more powerful than the media. And some of them are just even less than up-and-coming artists. How can you do that? How can you treat media like that? You can't treat media like that. You have to know that you give your due respect to the media. Internet radio is, which one of you out there have a radio inside of your house that you turn on to listen to? 99% of us either watch our television and MTV or we're on the computer listening to music or on your iPhone listening to music. The only time you listen to music in your car is when you're in your car. Majority of folks now listen still the internet on TuneIn Radio because that's internet radio there. It is not frequency radio or modular radio, whatever they call it. So the respect that folks have when the call letter is WAV 102.6, that is out of the way. When you have a .com radio, that's where radio is. That's where radio is. And one of these big company and corporation, CNN and all of those things, they have to have an internet presence or they would have closed down already. The reason why Times and all of those people and newspaper died is because the advent of the internet. The same way a lot of, Oprah Winfrey, who had the biggest network listenership, her thing when she went to our news station went crumbling. Internet radio is where radio is where everybody listens. So those people who don't think that internet radio, although some of us are not as professional as we should, but we grow. We're growing. And we get your music out there. My radio has reached, I have interviewed artists from Madagascar live. There is no way WRF can do that and anybody hear them in their frequency. I have interviewed artists from Africa, all parts of Africa. We have a live show out of Uganda, Kampala, every Tuesday at noontime. The show is live. Our music gets to them. When I look at my map for where we have a group of people in China who have our thing. last week, I mean, we have a young lady who blasted CRS Radio every time she's able to. I mean, in her emergency flight deck, blasting our music over there. In the emergency up in Massachusetts. When their plane is grounded, that's where the music gets blasted. Caribbean Radio Show have over 1 million listen. There are people, over 1 million people know we exist. And you're just going to say that, hey, you're just an internet DJ. We have people from Norway. We have people from China. We have people from India. We have people from Australia. We have people from everywhere that listen. We have a live show comes out of Trinidad and Tobago. Live show every Saturday at noon. We have a live show that comes out of Costa Rica every Sunday at noon. We're getting a live show out of Netherlands. Soon, we're getting one out of Italy. So internet radio have this entire global setting. People are listening to me, although some of them would never be able to understand when I go into my tyrantatious, I guess, coined that other word now, my tyrantatious mode. Because then I go into Jamaican and all of that kind of stuff and I lose them. While some of them say, wow, I love the patois. Some of them are good at the patois now because I talk it so well. Right? But the long and short of this, Reggae Round Robin is here to try to unite. I am not in competition with anyone. I work hard for the music. Nobody says thank you. Nobody. 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 Rather, what you get is people criticizing rather than say, hey, sister, you know, you could, you know, do this or come in, let me help you. The other day for Reggae Round Robin, I asked for folks who would be able to give me a logo. Please give me a logo. And I put out the thing that there are a lot of people from my country. There are a lot of people who I support their music who are graphic artists. None ever given to me. One young man who never been to Jamaica, is not of Jamaican heritage, said, Dr. Ev, 1, 2, 3. I must have had him make about 6 change. He never complained. And that's how I have Reggae Round Robin logo. None. None, 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 nobody. It's not for him. He's not an artist. He says, Dr. F, and in his word, reggae music has done so much for me and the vibration that he's given me. This is the least I can do for you. He's not an artist. There's a young lady, Miss Rosa Ware, who went to Jamaica, who we call like you get smite in the middle of the road, went to Jamaica. And open up to, servicing 3 orphanage. Because, why she did it? She was never been to Jamaica before. In her word, not my word. Miss Rosa Ware says, the vibration and the power that reggae music gave to me, I am obligated to give back something. So she went to Jamaica. Start Adventure, Soul Adventure is the name of the nonprofit organization that she's operating in Jamaica now. She doesn't have any descendants from Jamaica, nothing of that sort. But the power, the empowerment that reggae gave to her, she felt obligated to give forward. And I asked a musician, which I should have asked, to give me $5 towards getting some ice cream from a charity that we support. And the answer was my name went out on the internet far and wide. And this is somebody that I played their music and blasted to the world. I just had somebody from an artist from Jamaica. Oh, Dr. F, somebody just called me and tell me you have the music blowing up in Norway. And I said, wow. Just had somebody call me and say, hey, I'm listening to Mr. Cool. I just got Mr. Cool on from Canada on a show, I think, last week, Thursday. Hey, Dr. Ev, I'm listening to Mr. Cool. He sounds good, man. I'm listening to the interview from UK. You know, so how can you get that kind of a communication? How can you get there that easily? And all I'm saying to you guys, listen, we have lots of problems. We have a long way to go. If you're a musician, you should open your page for your personal self so it gets indexed, because you put good Google food in there when people come on your page, and your page is indexed, so your page get out there in the world. It's searchable. You lock your page and becomes private. And you lock yourself out. Your selfishness lock you out of the marketplace. Don't think that. Google is not like that. Right now, if you watch Google, Google has shared with Gmail, with Yahoo, these organizations, all of them share. So what are your minds not thinking how this thing works? Why you're shutting out yourself just for you to make sure you have only your content on your page, and your content is on everybody's page, and yours is only masked with your beautiful setting just for you. But you eat off of everybody else's table, and nobody should eat off of your table. That kind of a sense is, We need to share. We need to open up. And when we start sharing, we don't need to close ourselves. You know, I have musicians, hey, you get a new song, boom. Hey, man, do you have this new song from so-and-so? I don't care. This is a billion people who is into this place called WW. I can never get to all of them. There is more than enough space for everybody. So we don't have to be competing. And don't think we're competing. Right? If you feel like you need to get ahead of me to say you have this or you have that, in the music business, it doesn't work that way. We all need each other. And the quicker we find out somebody who understands the reggae market, mark my words, please write it down, mark it down. Somebody who has a ton of money, just like how they buy out BET, is going to come in, start a reggae program that is going to blast everybody out of this. Because they're going to have so much things and so much glitter and so much that you know what? Everybody is going to gravitate to them. So if you're not paused for the big revolution in WW, you can be fighting against me. We're all probably going to be out of this. When it comes to licenses and all of that, which 99% of people are pirating, not because you're in WW, I mean, in terms of communicating, you still need licensure for a radio station. Can you afford that? A lot of us, we're doing this now, but can you afford to be a royalty radio? A lot of us cannot pay that. A lot of us can pay a little streaming thing. But when it comes to the bigger picture, we're going to be closed out. And if we don't get together now, rather than fighting against each other, we won't be on these markets. We won't be in WW anymore. Watch. That's what's coming. Because somebody's eyeing us. Somebody sees what's going on, and we're going to be totally obliterated very, very soon. if we all get together and really work this thing properly, then this is how we'll be able to survive. We can pay royalty, we can have proper licensures and stuff like that, or else the laws, the copyright laws are getting very stringent, and it's going to squeeze most of us out of the market anyway. This is not a free-for-all. It is for now, but it's poised to change. Hey, coming up, I want to say big love to all of you hanging out on the switchboard. I want to say big, big love to you. Remember, if you want to chat with me, you must press 1 on your telephone keypad, because, you know, otherwise a lot of you, I see about 15 people here, a lot of you are just sitting here listening to the program here, because that's where you listen to the show. So, but if you want to chat or you want to say hi in any way, please press 1 on your telephone keypad, and I will have an indication on my side that you would want to talk. Coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to have Sultan Ali, the son of the legendary, the pioneer, the originator of ska, Prince Buster's son. We had the opportunity to have him Thursday, and he is offered again to be with us. And he's been in Hollywood. He grew up in the music. He was born with the beat. His dad created a movement. And sometimes we talk about Bob Marley. We talk about a lot of the other artists, and we don't lift up Prince Buster as much as we should, because he didn't just bring work. He created ska. He created ska. When his hands couldn't pass, his son told us on Thursday, when his hand couldn't pass to come and cut cane in Florida, he turned around and said, hey, life is giving me lemon. I'm going to make lemonade out of it. And that's how this ska beat came up. And he went through a hell of a lot, because they didn't believe in the beat. They didn't believe in it. It's new. He got a lot of fight, a lot of name calling. And that's when you are a pioneer, though. You have to be strong to really be creative and different. That's what happened. So we're going to have Sultan Ali, the son of Prince Buster. Oh, that is legend. I mean, when I think about Prince Buster, I don't know, growing up as a little girl, I think that's the prettiest man in the world. You don't say men are pretty, but that man is pretty. You hear me? And he's going to be here with us. And what he's going to talk about in the next hour, a couple of minutes, actually, how do you survive as an artist when the lights are gone, when everything gets dark? That is a point in time where thingamajig and thingamajig happens. The people lose their way because nobody's screaming and yelling anymore. The girls are not there anymore. Everything that comes along with stardom is not there anymore. How do you survive? How do you really get, you know, people build you up, build up your head big and swollen, and all of a sudden, it's gone, right? So he's going to come up and talk to you about that in a little bit. Reggae Round Robin, that's what we're here for. We're here for you artists. We're here for everybody who wants to join this. This is not my thing. This is our thing. For the first time, let us come together. If you don't really believe that we're losing reggae, you don't have nothing to lose still by joining the movement and supporting it. Don't be fighting me out there, trust me. Talk to me if I'm doing something that really irritates you and I can help not irritating you. Because sometimes we need to be irritated, you know what I mean? Sometimes we need that kind of a thing, too. So if I'm talking to you and it hurting you badly, maybe you need to change, too. Okay? But call me. Talk to me. Let us have a true partnership. Don't be sitting incognito and listening to me and see here, she, and all of them sitting there. It's not helping me. It's not helping you. Because I'm still going to do what I'm going to do. And if this is my calling, it is going to get done, whether you bad mouth it, yes or no. This is an opportunity for us to do something, at least to try. I am not telling you this is 100% proof, and this is the only thing that will help our music and help our industry. I'm not saying that, but at least it's a start. At least it's a platform to pivot off. At least this is something that we can start talking together. I start talking to, I want to say big up to Russ Murdoch, big up to the Junkyard, Mr. Cecil Richard, Papa Willie over there in the Junkyard, Ocherias, one of the great, great foundation people in production, but help a lot of artists, I mean, who otherwise wouldn't get out there. Want to say big up to Storm, Smoke, send us some big, big things for my artists in Kampala, my artists in Trinidad and Tobago. They blow them up. Trinidad and Tobago blow up all of your jingles and stuff today. Thank you so much for that. This is sending the artist, the DJ's jingle is just showing you're appreciating loving them. And what we sit here, that is one of the honors that they can do for. Don't ask us to buy your dub plate. It is your responsibility to show your gratitude by we not asking, but you offering. We're doing a service for you. Without us, we need each other. You don't need me more than I need you. You know, I mean, why should you ask a DJ who is playing your song to buy a dub plate or to buy a jingle from you? Why should he even ask? That's what's going on in some places. Open up your pages. It is for your good. And you cannot be selfish in this business. If I realize that you're my friend and I cannot come to your yard if I need to, it's just like, why? So I'm going to unfriend you, and therefore you should not put anything on my page. It is not fair. It's a one and washes the other. Dog, drink water, feel. You understand? We got to do this. If there's any artist, conscious artist you know out there who would like to be a part of Reggae Round Robin, remember you have to do something too. You have to be out there pushing it to get fans. The more fans you get as an artist, everybody, the more fans we get with the umbrella is the more money that whoever is up for the round robin is likely to get. This is workable. This is simple. Our foreparents used this kind of a system in order to help themselves and make do and support their family. Partner, you call it. Susu, some people call it susu, is the same thing. Reggae round robin, your turn, my turn, their turn, next turn. That's all that there is. It's something that can work. But the magical portion in this is that everybody unite and work together. Absolutely. Hey, we're going to go to the phone lines and welcome Mr. Sultan Ali. I'm getting a passion for this man just because of his connection to Prince Buster. Not a passion to him, you know, but Prince Buster. For a lot of us who grew up with this great man, we are going to take the opportunity to revive the foundation because a lot of these foundation artists are not getting what they're supposed to get out of their music. So the time has come also for us to help these guys who are very much still here with us. And pretty soon we'll be able to get Mr. Prince Buster on to chat with us. We are going to get a foundation member tomorrow, Mr. Leo Graham with the Upsetters. We just spoke to him this evening. He's going to be here with us. Next week, Thursday, guys, we are going to be having Clinton Farron. You all know Clinton Farron. But a very, very important guest is going to be here with us, too. That is Thursday. Thursday coming is Miss Beverly Kelso. Miss Beverly Kelso is one of the two original Wailers. A lot of times we think there wasn't a woman in the Wailers, but yes, there was a woman who was very, very close to Bob Marley and all of the other, very close to Bob. She was a confidant as a young girl and they being a young group at the time. She's still much here with us and she's going to be here. We had her on the show a couple of times already, but we're going to get her back. Beverly Kelso is one of the original Wailers. It's not only Bob, when they say Bob Marley and the Wailers, we're talking about Bunny. We're talking about Bunny Wailer, Peter Tosh, Beverly Kelso, and Bob Marley. Okay? There were Cherry that came after when the name changed a little bit. So, she came a little bit after, but she wasn't the original Wailer. Okay? So we're going to have her. So stay tuned for that on Thursday, guys. Go to the website, Reggae Round Robin. Tell your artists, tell your friends, tell everybody about Reggae Round Robin. This is kind of taking off right now. We would like everybody to get in on it and make this a success. Let us for the first time, if no other time, join together. Okay? I want to go to the phone lines and bring in the man of the hour, Mr. Sultan Ali. Good morning. How you doing, Sultan?
Good afternoon to you. How you doing?
I am just on an eye. I am just on a natural eye here. When I hear Prince Buster, and the closest I can get to him is his son. I am privileged.
You're stuck with the fruit, huh?
Anything. You can't catch Clark, you catch him shut.
First, I'm going to say thanks for having me on your show, of course, to all your beautiful people, your listening audience. And, of course, I can't forget my beautiful angels all around the world. Thank you, and I'm ready to go. Earthlings, universal beings, you are now into life, direct from Los Angeles, California. Thank you.
Yes, sir. When we talk about artists, first of all, just give us a little small history of your growing up into the music with your dad, and then we're going to go into, you've been to Hollywood, you've been in your dad, with your dad, you've traveled the world, you know the business inside out. Talk to our artists about the times when the curtain may go down on their career, or maybe temporary or permanently. Let us know how they can survive that.
Yeah. You see, this music business is a very critical business. And that is, there's a glitter side to it. There's a glamour side, and there's a popularity side, there's a media side, but there's also another side. In everything in life, there's a natural opposite. To every light, there's a dark. To every up, there's a down. To every yes, there's a no. And if you're not grounded, I mean, seriously, spiritually grounded, you won't be able to survive. When the curtains go down, or you're not getting the call, you're not getting the contract, you're not getting the promotions and everything. So it's best to be spiritually grounded so you can weather the storm, like Brother Job in the Bible. So you can weather these storms, because you will go through that. There's no entertainer's life who has gone smooth. None. None. If you should sit down with all these great entertainers and let them tell their life stories, trust me, sometimes you want to cry tears what they've gone through. But if you truly love the music and you're grounded, you will be stormed, because you must be tested. No one comes in this physical life without being scared and tested. You will be tested. So there's an up and there's a down. But the key is to be grounded, spiritually grounded. So when that dark time, when that challenging time comes, yes, you can say, yeah, I've kept the faith. And later put me the crown of righteousness, because I kept the faith and I persevered faith. Basically is substance hope for evidence not seen. I am being tested, doctor has been tested, but you got to be at the faith as Job and stay the course and weather the storm. If God be for you, can nobody be against you. But first you must be grounded in spirituality, not materialism, because materialism comes and goes. It's called currency. That means it moves from one hand to another person's hand. So don't bank on materialism. The great Michael Jackson is not here. The great Whitney Houston is not here. This breath you breathe is not ours, not your mom, it's not your daddy. You did not create this breath. And God has given everyone a piece of himself, the essence of that breath. And when it goes, that's it, you can't buy it. And there's no insurance for it. So stay as grounded as possible so you can weather these challenging times.
Yes, yes, yes. Wow, wow. We're getting some feedback from the room, true words, and we're getting some thank you. Want to say big love and thank you to GOG Experience, my sister out of London, right here with us, and the Mightyful 13, the number one producer, I would say now all the land right there in New York City. Yes, my brother. We see, and folks, you can get an opportunity to chat with Sultan Ali. Sultan Ali, of course, when we talk about the business of reggae music, music industry, and he has a lot of other legal experiences too. I don't know if he wants me to say that, but I'll just allow that. This man know all side of the coin. So if you want to give a call and if you have a question, please do so. 661-467-2407. That's 661-467-2407. A lot of times, upcoming artists, we see them, we try to help them. And one of the things in the industry that a lot of people say, they're very ungrateful because the minute they so-called bust, they go off to a different camp. Talk to us about that, because that seems to be a big problem too.
Well, that's come back to basically what I was saying about being grounded. You see, people going to make you offers. I get offers every day. So I'm saying from Europe, from Germany, but I don't dance to everyone's drum beat. Again, if you are grounded, you know, you will definitely know the good from the bad, from the manipulation, from the sincere, from the genuine. It's all about consciousness. Plus, one of the main things, we've got to become readers. Because when I was working for the college district system, I found readers, it's very important. That's why Malcolm X was so great. He read in the 8 years in the prison, he read every book that there was. He knew every word in the dictionary, the definition, the connotation, everything. So we got to read, and we got to sort of be on what's happening right now. These little probably dancehall artists coming up now, yes, they say dancehall is what's happening right now. But it didn't stop with dancehall. Always go back to the root, the radix, so to speak, and get the fundamental knowledge so you can stand firm. Remember this, the wise man builds his house on the rock. The foolish man builds his house on the sand. Because when the water comes, trust me, the sand ain't got no choice but to erode. But the rock will be there. It's fundamental knowledge. We've got to build our source on the real strong foundation. And we got to go back to the mentor and Kumin and all those historical music that helped to develop the ska, which would make a first international genre. Then we lead right up to the rock steady, the reggae and the dance. So you've got to know your true history. Marcus Garvey said that people with a sense of their past are like trees without roots, and can no tree, no plant live without a root. The root gives the plant, the leaves and the streams and the stems, the sustenance. And the key is sustenance. That's knowledge is power, and power is protection.
Wow, wow. Woo, you're giving me chills here. Now, one of the things in the music industry, especially what's going on, let's say, in Jamaica, because a lot of artists, they're reached out on the internet with offers, and you're talking about you have to, first of all, I would imagine you're saying you have to have a foundation in yourself even before you venture out into this vicious market, because
it's a dog eat dog. Trust me. You've got to know yourself. To thyself be true. Know thyself. And it's beyond cell phone. It's beyond BlackBerry. It's beyond flat screen TV. It's beyond Bima. Trust me. The more fundamental knowledge you have, as far as your knowledge and reading and the capacity to retain and overstand, not understand, and can extrapolate and advocate for your defense and for your protection, trust me, you will live and be a longer time in this business. But with less knowledge, trust me, you're at the mercy of all these pack of wolves. Trust me. They will tell you all the good things, but they'll manipulate because they'll check your account to your IQ, which basically is your intelligence quotient. We go to a doctor or lawyer, that's what he does. The doctor or lawyer, they assess you. How many years of school you had? How many years of college? Blah, blah. And right away, they can tell. And they say, oh, we got a little thing. We can manipulate him and blah, blah, blah. And they start set their program to manipulate you. But you don't know you've been manipulated. Because they talk that nice talk to you and everything. But if you got knowledge, you can see straight through them. And they treat you with respect. Because, again, like I said, knowledge is power, and power is protection. The key is to protect yourself, like you buy insurance for your car and your house. Your insurance right now is your knowledge, which gives you a sense of power. And I believe that the empowerment of the knowledge, you can protect yourself. You can separate the invasions, the manipulations, and you won't sign the wrong contract. They say most artists shouldn't sign nothing but an autographed picture. Because every time you write your name, if you understand contract law, you are now entering into a contract, whether you know it or not.
Mm-hmm.
You see, you can, oh, you can't, oh, I didn't know, blah, blah. Listen, ignorance is no excuse for the law. It's all a game that the strong minds of people who are more learned, they manipulate the ignorance of the people. They exploit you through your ignorance. And that's why, according to the Bible, again, when Jesus was 12 years old, he went into the temple, speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees and the learned of his days. He was only 12 years old, as per the Bible. And what he did, when they saw how learned he was, conscious he was, I love the word consciousness, they was like flabbergasted, they were amazed. How can you just a little boy like this, 12 years old, challenge all we learned scribes and we read them, we have all this knowledge and everything. When you come to that kind of knowledge, they were surprised because he shook them. Because he opened the door and said, you're playing games on the ignorance of the people. And they were flabbergasted. Why? Because he had that knowledge. And that knowledge was his power. And as part of his power, he was protected himself. And they was like, wow, it's unheard of. The key is knowledge. And knowledge, you can protect yourself. So I suggest you all better become reader. Voracious, avid readers. Read everything. Because there's something you can pick out. Trust me. Don't overlook nothing. Read as much as you can read. And the more you read, the more you build your vocabulary. The more you build your pronunciation. The more you build your confidence. The more you build your speaking engagement. You can get up before the crowd of 5,000, 10,000 people and speak extemporaneously. So without notes. And that's the key. Because readers make good leaders.
Yeah, we have a lot of young, youthful, let's focus, say, on Jamaicans coming in. They have not been to this side of the world. They don't understand the music because they don't have any coaching. There can be talent there and sometimes not so much of a talent. But once they get on the internet, there is always somebody there to tell them, wow, you're good, and brings them into this net. Talk to us how should these young artists, and not only these artists, you've been in the business a long time, you have heard so many artists who are big multi-million dollar track and album sellers lost every single thing. What kind of look for?
Back in the early days when Prince was with Warner Brothers, okay, he wanted to get a recording deal and everything. These people had you signed, these corporate executives had you signed like a sign your life away, so to speak. And because they'd give you all this nice verbiage, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do this video, you're going to be bigger than life and everything. And you're so anxious. And the key is not to be anxious, the key is to be conscious, okay? So he signed. And after a while, Prince didn't even own the name Prince. He didn't own the name. He had to use some kind of logo type thing, the artist formerly known as Prince.
Prince, yes, so I remember that.
Yeah, he had to go to a lot of legalities and fight them for years and used to get back his masters and everything. And you are the owner of what you create. It's called intellectual property.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Yep. So if you get too anxious, they'll promise you this thing. But on paper, you are not the owner. And after a while, they pull the rug from under your feet. And trust me, that's when you start going to drinking and smoking and start your whole world turn upside down overnight. Be careful. Be conscious. Don't be anxious. Because you will be manipulated. That's what it's all about. To learn it, play, and manipulate the weaker minds and have you as a modern-day slave into the servitude. So be very, very, very careful. Be very, very careful. Because like I said, walking on this world, you're like in Fallujah, like a landmine. Be careful of your step. Because there might be an IED right under your foot.
Wow. But a lot of us is different. Listen to me, Sultan. When I am in Jamaica, never seen this, only the beautiful things that I choose to see in my mind will tell us that this place of gold and the big stage and the beautiful light, how am I going to really forego that and start to look at somebody who is really trying to manipulate me? What that is very difficult for me to do when I'm hungry.
That's why in Jamaica we need to set up some kind of organization where we take the young youth, the young potential people have aptitude for music and everything, potential youth, and take them under your wing and slowly groom them. That's like Motown at a grooming school and everything.
Yes.
We should set up
in
Jamaica also. We just groom them. Take them to a party.
Yes.
There's a new ska band over in Alpha Boys School right now. They gave me a call about a month ago, wanted to do some work with me. It's called Ska Rebirth. And this guy called Sparrow Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
Sparrow Martin, sorry. He used to be the drummer for Carlos Malcolm on the Afro-Jamaican beat. Well, he's like the mentor for them. He's bringing up a whole new ska band in Alpha. Some young cats, bad, playing all the classic ska music and everything. Because they're like a ska resurgence. So they're under a nice, good mentor who's been there from the day one, from back in the early days of Skeptic Lights, who's giving these young children, so to speak, a knowledge of what he had in the past and grooming them and putting them out there professionally. We need to go through that. I heard Dean Frey said in an interview the other day that there are 1,000 ska bands in Europe and none comes out of Jamaica. Okay? And he also said the same thing. These young cats coming up, these young potential musicians, they know what's happening now. But the key is to know what happened then that caused the happening for now. Because everything you see happening now is not happening from solely from here. It's because something was done prior to this stage. And as a result, the catalyst, this is happening right now. The key is to read and do your research and go back and have the historical foundational knowledge under your belt. And go to people who've been in the business, the professionals who've been there before you, 30, 40 years, to sit down at their feet, like we said back in the early, in the historical African thing, the griots. The sage, sit at their feet and humbly ask questions and hang around them so something can rub off on you. You learn and humble yourself because all this little bling bling on this phone stuff, it don't last for a while because every bright lights do get dim after a while. But if you have fundamental rock solid under your feet, you'd weather any storm.
Mm-hmm. An evil artist, no. You know, here's the thing. We were looking at Melba Moore. I mean, I've been just chanting her songs from the other day. Always a song that had helped me through a lot of very difficult time. The greatest four-octave voice probably in the world. And she was stripped of every single thing. And she's a teacher. She's a teacher by profession. So when some of these young...
I'm trying to tell you, once you don't understand contractual law and the legal part of this paper, because there's a man that I admire so much that I must give props to. He's the great Sam Cooke.
Mm-hmm.
He has a book called, I bought it about 25 years ago. It's called You Send Me. Well, he was the first black man, as per my knowledge, to really understand the publishing of the music. He was with RCA. He had to make RCA records and everything. And he was just a sharp and astute businessman. He coined the phrase, he said, show/business. Most of our young people want to say the show. But there's a business side to it that's very, 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 very important. I can't stress how much important it is. And he mastered that. You understood the great Sam Cooke. And he was before Barry Gordon, before Motown and everything. He said, show business. He understood the art of publishing and copyright, and that's the key that gives you longevity in this business, to protect the thing that you've created is called intellectual property. Because if you don't protect it, because really a warfare, it'll be stolen from right under your feet because somebody want to take your possession because they can see the lucrative of the business and everything. And they try all kind of way. And if you easily let, trust me, it says back in the book of in the so-called Bible, it started out as a snake. But in the end Revelation, it became a dragon. So they will consume you all the time if you don't have something to protect yourself. And then you don't have to dance to every drum because not all that glitters is gold. But depends on then your economical and social background and everything. But the key is to be groomed under the people who came before you. That's very, very, very important. So they can guide you and show you and give you their 40, 50 years so you don't have to go through the same error and the same mistake. Because your job is to stand on their shoulder and go further than where they've gone. But it takes a cohesiveness. We can't afford to have no generation gap, so to speak. We got to bridge all these gaps so we can walk from a generation of shoulder to shoulder and become higher than the Empire State Building.
Wow, Wow. Oh, 661-467-2407. That's 661-467. We have about 30 and so minutes to the upside of the show. Please give us a call if you would like to have add any kind of a comment or ask any question. Sultan Ali, the wonderful son of the great inventor of Ska, the originator of Ska, Prince Buster. And I want to tell you folks, we have to go and start doing more honors to the man while they're breathing. We definitely need to let them know what their contribution is. I think we have this idea when these people are not here to respond or receive whatever we're giving them, that's the time we kind of look to figure, oh, he was good, he did this and he did that. And I think that we have to really start looking at our history differently and do things a little bit different. We talk about contracts. We're talking about making sure that everything is dotted to the T. We have to realize, I think that young people going into this thing, because they don't have mentor, and a lot of them really think that they really know this thing better than their mentor, and that is one of the big problems. I don't think that we are learning the lessons well. We understand Bob Marley, the big, big, great Bob Marley. I mean, we lost about 8 of his properties because of the little nuances in legal contract called work for hire. These are the other little things. We, as you're saying, we have to learn these terminologies. We have to know what they mean. How, if you're going to go into a contractual agreement, a lot of times, these producers, arrangers, whatever, they if you're going to do it, they want you to sign right there on the spot. They're bringing you a couple of girls. They're bringing you a couple of champagne, and they're giving you some bling and kind of just give you that part where the signature go. They never offer to give you that to take home and read it and go through it or get somebody else to go through it with you. It's either now or never. Talk a little bit about that, because sometimes we can be thinking right now we're on top of things until hell broke loose, because most of these artists do get break loose at that point when it's too late.
Well, so sometimes, again, it's how desperate the artist is, basically. Like I said, it's not about being anxious, it's about being conscious. And mentorship is very, very, very important. Because basically, if you study contract law, there's four basic elements that holds contract law. And if one of those elements is void, the contract is null and void. But if you don't have this kind of knowledge, they're not going to give this to you. Trust me, these are the secrets that the learned use to manipulate the weak minds or the less intelligent people around you. And the management knows this, they give you a whole bunch of paperwork and everything, sign this and that. You think you're on top of the world and everything. And after a while, you know, you don't own nothing. So the key is to do your homework. Spend some time reading and researching. If you're not legally minded, but if you have some kind of basic knowledge of what's happening, it helps to have better than having none at all. Because you can start from point A and slowly reach to point B and C and D and F. But if you're clueless, trust me, well, say in Jamaica, dog, name your supper. And there's nobody going to be feeling sorry. Nobody going to be feeling sorry because ignorance is no excuse for the law. So be careful what you sign. They said artists must only sign an autographed picture. Because most artists say, you're an artist. You don't know about legal stuff. Leave it up to us. Leave it up to us. You know? And they do the legal part and everything, the paperwork. Like Sam Cook said, the business side of it. Show/business side, which includes a lot of litigation, paperwork, filling out this and documents and work for I and everything. They use legal jargon that's over your head. Because we go to school sometime and we think we just know the dictionary. We're coming out of Webster's and the rest of the dictionaries. But in legal terms, a whole different kind of genre they use. Jargon, I should say. Because yes, they're coming out of Black's Law, Bouvier, Ballantyne's Law. You have no clue what those books are. But the privileged people have these books. So they write this stuff in legal terminology. Again, that's just over your head. They say, go get your lawyer to interpret this. Because then we have no clue. Because you come from the regular parochial school and the regular public school system where they teach you about the Webster Dictionary you know, and give it Webster definition. But in the legal terms, it's a whole different Latin type thing going on right over your head. You have no clue, you have no connotation, no definition, so they can manipulate you real easy. So the key is to be very, very, very careful.
Mm-hmm.
And find the people who've been there before you so they can guide you.
You, one of the phenomena, I don't know if it's a phenomenon, it's almost pandemic all over the internet, where people who have no knowledge of reggae music, no knowledge of music whatsoever, no knowledge of the country, no knowledge of the history, are taking up these artists and being managers and being offering them empty promise. Talk about that, because this comes under desperation too.
Again, it's desperation. A lot of times right now, it's very hard to leave Jamaica right now. Because what I get to understand, and if you're trying to go to the UK, you're going to have to go get a visa, you're going to get the British pound. If you're trying to get to the US, you got to get convert the Jamaican dollars to US dollars and everything. And for the most part, they're turning all the people down. So they're losing a whole bunch of money through the immigration process trying to get to the States and everything. And if you have somebody who's a big firm, a big corporation in some of these US or British continent and everything, European continent, you have a whole bunch of problems with immigration. And they'll soup you up and take you over there in Europe and everything, and trust me, you'll be a total expert. I can tell a case right now, a very prominent musician, I can't call no names, I'm working on some issue for him right now. You know, he's been in the business before I was born. And when the man sat on the table, what he has been going through, I was like, what? And you might think, oh, he's on top of the world and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And right now he's on tour and everything. So all that glitters ain't gold. That's the reality. Check it. Check everything. Not every eye across everything. Question everything. That's your right. That's not a privilege. It's a right.
Wow. But, these offers are sometimes just so overwhelming to these folks who need a break.
If you have nothing at all and mama, you're trying to move mama out of a certain different area and everything, and you see other cats come around and they have done it. They say, oh, he moved his mother out of this sort of area and put her right there. I understand that, about growth and development and the improvement. I understand the word about amelioration and everything. But at the same time, all I'm saying, just be cautious. Just be careful. But I know you want it, but and they know you want it too. They see the desperation,
and that's
when you're easily exploited. That's when you're easily exploited, because there's about 50 guys or 1,000 guys want the same opportunity as you. I said, okay, I'll give it to someone else. And you think you're gonna be losing? Trust me, it's a rough thing. You gotta fight. You gotta find your spiritual balance, your spiritual homeostasis to deal with all this. Trust me, it's not easy. I know that it's not really easy. Coming from a social or political or economical level of experience, and you're trying to get out, bust out a certain kind of economical level and improve your family standard, your living standard and everything. I understand all of that, but at the same time, just don't be anxious. Be conscious. Because it's not all that gives the same goal.
Wow. What being so, you're saying, how can we even try to fix them? You're saying you have a big artist out there who seemingly on the outside that thing is going, and it's really not going. A lot of these artists, foundation artists, don't have a dime in their name. They're tied up. The music that they're singing don't belong to them when they get to understand all of that. So there is a lot of undercurrent going on that we don't even know about.
Because they enter the business, and what we say, they got caught up into the hype and the rare, don't understand the legal part of the business. Like I said, Sam Cooke said, show/business. And as long as they can't hear the record on the radio, playing the dance up, playing the big stage and everything, the promotion and everything, they buy into the hype, give them a big bike or whatever they give them and everything. But down the line, you got to protect yourself. Because whatever you create, you own your own intellectual property. That's your creation. You see, that's like insurance, like your insurance pension in the game. That's where the basic is. It's your insurance. But down that you've gotten a little old and everything, that's your insurance. So if you don't understand the business, you'll be money. And most young cats coming out of Jamaica, they don't really understand the business. and they're at the mercy of these people, these producers or whoever out there been out there before them. Because they got burnt, you know. And this is like a vicious circle of burnt. They got burnt. They had to learn the business the hard way also. So they're going to pass the same thing on. You see? It's a vicious cycle. Because
mm-hmm.
they too got burned coming into the business. They didn't understand. And after years of being exploited and blah, 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 oh, and they did the same thing all over. So it become a vicious cycle over and over. You know, so we got to be very, very careful. And I emphasize about our young artists. We have got to be more readers, researchers, because that's why you reward history by researching. You know. You've got to put some time into the library, into books. Turn the television off. Turn all this videotape off. Get back to reading. When you read, you build your mind, you build your vision, you build your vocabulary, you build your confidence, and it develops a certain amount of empowerment. And empowerment thus suits protection. You don't have to know everything, because no one knows everything but the Lord of creation. But if you have a fundamental knowledge, you can know that A will lead to B, B lead to C. You can do inductive and deductive reasoning. You have a sense of critical, analytical thinking. That's the key. But first, you got to build a fundamental foundation first. Not just music, because in this business, talent is like, I would say like 20, 30, 30% of the business is talent. That's it.
Yes.
It's a very small, there's billions of talents out there. You got to come with something exceptional. You got to be talented, but something that's about you.
Mm-hmm.
Some opinion, because they want to see, they want to see, how can I make some money off him? How is he marketable? What kind of market I can target, I can put him into? You know what I'm saying? What kind of personality is he? Can he go on this radio show and talk and blah, blah? Can he go on this TV program and this commercial, blah, blah? They find out all kind of ways. It's not about making that dollar bill. So it's not about musical talent. You got to be more than that, because the talent is about maybe 20%.
Mm-hmm.
What up to the rest of 65-70%?
Talk a little bit more in depth about the marketing, because that is really the force of the thing. As you're right, 20% of it is talent, and sometimes you can have a no talent and have a big marketing gorilla.
No,
marketing.
It always happens.
Yes.
You must remember that most of these early singers, you know, what they used to do is they copy the black folks' music. You know?
Yes.
You know, like if you watch a movie called, I think it was Mahogany with Diana Ross.
Yes.
Mahogany. Yes. They saw the black artists come in and they got a song and they want to sing in a certain kind of way. So they had the black artist tell her she go record a song, but it's really a demo. Okay. So she record the song and sing it with the passion and the style and the flaring and the conviction and everything, and lay out this other song supposed to be sang. And they're bringing another European or whatever, Caucasian, whatever, to mimic her now. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
After she left the studio,
yes,
to mimic her and sing it like her note for note.
Oh my God.
You see what I'm saying? And then these things happen all the time. And then after a while, you finally say, I recorded a song, but your single wasn't released. You heard someone else singing the same song, but I sang that song. It was in the movie called, I think it was Mahogany, or Late, no, sorry, Lady Sing the Blues, I think, Diana Ross. It happened right there and then. They take your idea to wake up. We got a certain way of singing and styling, and it's a mimicker, pattern after. And she sing it, and take up 1,000 takes in the studio, and they're the patient because they want to break her. But they use your styling to break other artists. These things happen over and over and over and over. So, again, we got to be careful. We got to be animal. You be easily exploited. They want to what happened to you. And you sang your song, but your song never released. Never.
And you say, Sultan, you turn around and say, what happened to me or what licked me?
Oh, yes. they probably get a little chump change and everything, but you see, because most of the songs, even the Pat Boone songs and Elvis Presley, a lot of it was black folks' music.
Yes.
You see? But you'll never know that because you've never heard the black folks' version.
Oh.
Little Richard always say, they never gave me nothing. Listen to Little Richard. He's been through it. He's always fussing at them about how they used him and everything.
Wow.
And he was exploited. The great Little Richard.
Wow.
So we got to do our homework, and not just Jamaican-wise. Globally, internationally, we're the part of black artists who came way before, way all them great men who came before, the pioneers. Do research and study and ask questions. What happened after so-and-so-and-so? And if you don't know about it, ask your mama. Hang out with some older people who can give you some historical fundamentals, footnotes, and bibliographies before you got here. Then you become a reservoir of knowledge, and a reservoir of knowledge leads to a reservoir of power, and power leads to protection. That is the key.
But Sultan, one of the things, I mean, just kind of having a little bit of overview of the music in Jamaica. People, the fact that we had a lot of artists coming into these particular studios gave artists an opportunity to converge together where they could exchange a conversation or kind of figure out a little bit of what was going on, or at least they could chatter with each other. Now everybody is sitting around a computer with the vulture, in some cases, by themselves. And when they start feeding us, there is no way you can get rid of that, you know? So we're not at the stage where somebody could have said, hey, man, don't walk there, so walk through there, because I've been through there and that. Nobody's there to show the young folks coming up anything. There's a market. There's a host of people who are disingenuous at the most, who are lying the computer, who understand the psychology of these young and up-and-coming artists, especially Jamaica, and just pounce on them. And
yes.
How can you get these young people? Because we have a show here where we try to teach them stuff, but the majority of them is not going to even want to come and listen, because they don't want to hear anything that is going to impede the progress that they are not even going to make.
Well, it's not about impeding. Again, it go back again to now. That's why you go to school. They taught you in school about the alphabet, A, B, C, D, and everything. That's what the prerequisite to reading and writing. Once you have the fundamental knowledge, that's cool. But a lot of them want it here and want it right now. That's the problem. It's an immediate gratification. And nothing works like that, because the farmer to sow a seed in the ground, they take a certain time to germinate and everything, then it reaches to the sun. The same thing with having a baby. Okay? Everything happens in the process called T-I-M-E, time. And if you're anxious, you're going to get hurt. Trust me, you will get hurt. Speak to Shabba Rankin, why Shabba Rankin hasn't been doing a lot of shows. Speak to Patra, because they learned the business the hard way. Do some research about that. And all the people who say that, hold back right now, because they say, I was once blind, but now I can see. And they're very precautious right now, because they understand not just the glitter and the hype and the big up and everything. They see beyond that now, because they have lived long enough to go beyond that. And that's why I think that's why Shabba Ranks wasn't on the BET show, the award show, because I heard they wanted him. I think he declined or something like that. But a lot of them been through a lot of stuff, not coming in, not understanding the business, because you want to see the hype and the ray. They get a small part of it, but there's a bigger part.
Wow.
They get to know how to put themselves and speak to the elders. Find somebody who you admire. Find someone in the music business who you admire, that you look up to, basically, and try to become his friend.
Use him as a confidant, a mentor,
a man like a Dean Fraser, Sly, them, wherever you find your spirit, because that thing about spirit, you know, spirit tech type thing,
yeah.
Anybody's
yeah.
spirit leads towards. Find somebody been around there, you get spirit bond and everything, you start visiting them often, so on, and start socialize with them. Socialize and don't socialize with your own age. Most of our young kids, they got people in their age. Yeah, you gotta call it a little box, because all you have in your age bracket, so to speak, are the soothsayers. We call them yes men. Everything you say, they go, yeah man. They rubber stamp everything. You want somebody of a critical things who've been there, who can say no, and be another POV, a point of view also, and that comes with being around long enough, age and experience. So find somebody who are old, like a mentorship guy, somebody who you admire. I can't tell you, you can make your own choice on that. We admire, who you think I got it going on and everything, and just become his friend or a big brother, so to speak, and start socializing, start asking questions, try to meet him and everything, and just say, hang around with him, you know? Then you want to be a protege of his or whatever. And you start to hang around, you start to learn, you start to be on spots. You hear these things happening, you see production going on, you hear people coming from the States to come to visit, to do recording, collaboration. You get exposed to all this type thing. And it builds you. Builds your confidence, builds your repertoire, and of course, gives you the power. the knowledge begets the power. And when you got the power, trust me, the key is self-preservation. So you must protect yourself.
Mm-hmm. Well said, well said, absolutely well said. One of the things that we see with a lot of artists, you can kind of do a timeline of an artist. Artists suffering, artists never know the ropes, him so-called bust. And then all of a sudden the glitz and glitters them start going on. And the humble liquor man all kind of turn around and his people them who help him when he never have anything. And he reached to the zenith and all of a sudden just zoom. How can you tell us a little bit about how can these artists really learn to take step by step and treat stardom differently so they can really live out their so-called stardom or live a life where they mature with it and don't take this overboard?
All right. Like I said again, if you look at the people who came before you and sort of their lifestyle, their patterns, the people of all the great big hits, superstars. So when I came to Hollywood, I was watching a TV show about 30-something years ago. And there was a guy interviewing and he asked, how come you've never become a big star? And the guy said, yeah, but I've been in Hollywood 40, 50 years and blah, blah. But your name is not as big as this other guy's and blah, blah. And he said to the interviewer, he said, yes, you're right, you're true. He said, some are meat and some are seasoning.
Some are what?
Some are meat and some are the seasoning. The whole analogy about the whole adage is basically, yes, some guys are meat. You get to see them. They are in the light, limelight, and then get big in billboard and then marquees and everything. But you don't have to see me because I'm the seasoning. And you ask him, which lasts longer, the meat or the seasoning? And that grabbed me, and I'll never forget that. You see, these guys who are meat and everything, yes, they get the big starlights and the big promotion and everything, but they don't last as long as I do. Because if you watch, you cook your food on Sunday, the meat always seems to consume quicker than the seasoning. The salt stays there for months and months and months and months and months and months. But the chicken or the meat or the steak or whatever you eat or vegetable.
Mm-hmm. What if we lost you? Sultan, did we lose you? Oh, I think probably we lost him there for a little while. 661-467-2407. Hello, Sultan. I think we lost him there. I know he will call us back. 661-467-2407. It's CRSRadio.com, the Knowledge Station, Caribbean Radio Show. Of course, we're 24/7. You can pick us up when we're not here live on this air. And simultaneously, we are streaming on CRSRadio.com. We are on iTunes. We are on TuneIn Radio. And on your browser over there at also the Big F Book as well. And anywhere you like to listen to us, we are there. We're there. Caribbean Radio Show is the home of the Reggae Round Robin. Reggae Round Robin gives you the opportunity for us to come together, group our efforts together, so we can get stronger. It's not an individualistic thing. It is a strengthening of all our resolves and getting our talent exposed. And whatever we get from that, you know, it's going to be something stable. It's no hassle, nothing. Nobody's getting anything out of your money. I'm not getting anything. Nobody's getting anything. So you don't have to fear that at all. Reggae Round Robin, free for you to get involved with. All you have to do is to get your fans to the page, www.facebook.com/Reggae Round Robin. Just put in Reggae Round Robin if you're on Facebook and you get right to the page. If you are a conscious artist and want to be a part of it, just leave an email and your interest right there on the page, or you can email CaribbeanRadioShow@gmail.com and we will be able to look at what you have, because all the music that we want to get on there is supposed to be conscious and inspiring music. I'm not talking about religious music. We not want any music is going to tell women to cock up, skin out, and all of those stuff. But you know, dance music, you can gyrate a little bit, but I mean that these kind of behavior or these kind of message in the music, we certainly would not like those. Absolutely not. What that will do, where once we get together on that platform, right away you're going to be exposed to other artists. You're going to be exposed to other people's fan base. You're going to definitely be stronger together. Okay? So make sure you get there. 661-467-2407. Remember, we have Leah Graham from the Scatterlight. I think the Scatterlight. On tomorrow, we're going to be talking foundation along with some other foundation people. All right? We're back. Sultan Ali, the great, great Sultan Ali. You talk about the father, you talk about the son too. Some very, very great information here for you. Prince Buster's son, Sultan Ali, here with us, giving us a real good background of exactly what goes on and what you should look out for in the music industry. Sultan, your mic is open.
Can you hear me?
Yes, yes, yes. Your mic is open.
Okay, okay.
Go ahead.
Okay,
please.
Yeah. So, basically was that, and again, we're going through a paradigm shift right now. We've got a shift in countries around the world. These things are happening. The baby are born with their eyes open. They call them indigo child. So we got to stay on our path because it's going to be good, but we got to go through the rough times. You know, we got to make the rough part smooth because it's been opposite for the longest, and it's going to the Venus transit. So we just got to move on a positive tip, cohesively, to protect whatever we create, because business is not just business, corporation business. It's a warfare. When I was in college, so the political science, we call it like a cold war, a war of words or a war of ideology. Well, the war is to protect what you have created, because if you cannot protect it, trust me, there's someone out there trying to take it away from you. So we got to learn to protect what we have created and claim what's rightfully ours.
Mm-hmm. While you're getting from the chatter from the room, I mean, Mr. Manifold 13, we want to hear your voice on this one. Give us a call, man. 661-467. We have a couple of minutes, less than 10 minutes before the show is out on this side. Give us a call, 661-467-2407. You're getting a lot of yes, 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 you're right, and all of that good stuff coming out of the chat room. Do you think that they're supposed to be some kind of a channeling with the music coming out of Jamaica, because the vulnerability of intellectual property rights and those people who sit aside just waiting to snap up some of these talented, do you think we should have, who should be responsible if you think we should have it? Or this
It's an individual thing, but at the same time, there are different levels of contribution. I also think that the local government should be a part of it, because when you attack Jamaican music, you're attacking a national treasure. The Ministry of Music, whoever's over that, entertainment, is very, very important. The government of Jamaica should be a part of that also, because right now, that brings revenues to Jamaica. Mm-hmm. Foreign exchange to Jamaica, okay? The guys come here, do show, bring back money to Jamaica. So you got to protect that interest. Like I say, if you don't protect it, somebody will go and steal it. So it's incumbent on the government of Jamaica also to be a part of it. Protect that's what's naturally, nationally and naturally ours. It's not just the artist and the producer. They got to be a collective body. And, of course, I got to speak on the insurance part of it, the welfare and the well-being of the previous musicians who have given their lifetime and talented to promote or to market this music, international musical genre. There got to be some kind of welfare insurance for them also, so when time comes when they've gotten old and things are not happening like it used to happen, they're not getting the sessions or the call for the recordings like they used to have, there's some kind of insurance they can bounce back on for their well-being and their welfare. That's incumbent on us also to push not only the Jamaican or people, individual producers, some kind of organism, but the government herself supposed to be a part of that. That's a national, Jamaican music is a national treasure. So the government should play a very, very vital role inside of that also.
Mm-hmm. All right, let me open the line, 347. Good evening and welcome to CRSradio.com. Good evening, welcome in.
Yeah, good evening, good morning, Dr. Ev. And I want to say good morning also to Sullivan Ali. That's right?
Yes, Sullivan
Ali.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. And I listen, and it's very educative, and a lot of things that you're saying is very true, you know, especially about what you just mentioned about Shaban Pacha, who is two of my real good friends, you know, being around him, and they are two artists can really be a test of the exploitation of the business from the fame that they gain. And, you know, so I hope a lot of artists, producers, musicians, and industry players are tuning in and learning of this knowledge that you shared.
My difference starting, of course, those people are listening in. This is one of the number one producers in New York. I mean, turns out number one choose like is just nothing. So again, here are somebody that we have who are expertise, who has been in the trenches and know exactly also all aspects of the music. Now you're saying to me, because what I'm hearing from both of you is that all that really glitters is not gold.
No, it's not.
Oh, we got some a lot of
sometimes it's gold plated.
Oh, Lord.
It's the public enemy. Tell you, don't buy the hype. It's a rare race. You see, when you're economically less than everything, people can exploit you. Okay, they come say the nice words, and they come give you a trip, get a little ticket here and there, and a little bling bling. And to the average people that you're showing, you have a little bit more than them. But really, down to the core, when you understand what's really going down to the business, it's not that. It is not that. It's the same thing under George Michael. Bob Marley was a prayer that also with Chris Blackwood and all Island Records type thing. You see? But after you start understanding the wider part of the business, you see that thing called microcosm and that thing called macrocosm, like in economics, micro and macroeconomics. We start to see the wider picture. They said, when I was a child, I think and act and do as a child. We start to understand the wider picture. So, wow. We never know that. You know what I'm saying? That's why the key is knowledge. You've got to become an avid reader. You must read. Must. It's incumbent on you. Again, I can't say it more. Doggone name your supper. Because you will be exploited. Because even the lawyer who's representing you, he's making another deal behind your back as he speaks to you.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah. No, what Sullivan said a while ago, a lot of lawyers, they don't know as much as they are academically brilliant. But when it comes to the business of the music, they don't know it. They don't know about it, like as him say, intellectual property rights, you own what you created. No one can own the intellectual property rights of an artist. They only sign away their rights, or their rights has been taken away because of a signature.
Because they have you sign this and sign that and sign. You don't know this and because they say, oh, blah, blah, and they give you like a blanket statement. And you're so anxious again. You don't read to the whole of the fine print. It's all a game. Remember, most lawyers, they are officers of the court. You must understand how the judicial system was designed. The judge, let me tell you straight out, is a banker/judge. And they're going to sound alarming to you if you don't understand the law. This is a part of the law they don't teach you in school. Judge/banker, because he or she's in a black robe. Remember this. The judge always give away a money judgment. It boils back down
business. The people, them don't listen to what you're doing, but some people don't know what they learn in school.
All right.
What they don't learn in school is confusing to them.
School is a programming. Our job is to get out of the box. Like I say, it's a matrix. Get out of the box. Because school is one thing, but reality is another. School gives you lesson than tests. Life gives you tests, and out of the test comes lesson. And again, they're exploiting the people through their ignorance. It's all about money. And the judge and the lawyer and all these prosecutors, all of them in the same work for the same people. Judge, jury, and executioner. It's all a game. And the job is to put them in the front street and expose the truth. The book says, ye shall know the truth. The people don't know the truth. They have been hit upside the head, like Brother Malcolm said, they've been hoodwinked and bamboozled. So even the law, he was talking all this nice talk to you, he is an officer of the court. And his first allegiance, trust me, believe it or not, is not to you. It's not to you.
It's the court.
True.
It's to the court. You see what I'm saying? Because he's trying to protect his license. Listen to this. License to practice. Practice.
Yes.
Let's go to the word practice. You see what I'm saying? Yes. Attorney at law. And it's all quasi-law. Because if you don't understand UCC, you don't have a clue. Because when you see your name in all caps, that's not you. They have turned you into a corporation. Doctor, everything is deep. It's very deep. Trust me.
Talk to me. me a little bit, guys, with both of you. Give me your take on a lot of managers are turning up with these artists who don't know music, who don't understand the business, who don't understand some law. Some of them do. But talk to me about them. How should, why, how, what should these people ask about putting their hands in people who don't understand what the music industry is about?
First, I should say, you got to find somebody who the spirit, like we're saying, Jamaica, the spirit tech, somebody you think is true and honest, somebody who sincerely has your backing, somebody want to see your forward mobility, who you can trust. And either you can trust nobody 100%, because there's always a little deviation going on. But at least in this business, you're not going to save everything, but we're trying to mitigate certain circumstances and everything. Somebody we think who has that knowledge, who has a love, a likeness for you and everything, who will go out on a limb for you. It's very hard to find, but it first starts with self. And I think the law of attraction, once you start to love yourself, protect yourself, start to read, and start to send that vibratory message in the universe, you will start attracting those kind of people, because everything is all about law. It's all about law.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is why your father is a man who opened his own record store on Iron Street. You know? Because your father is a man I'm going to meet as a child.
Yeah,
you know?
From way back,
right,
man, from
the
Lego system days. Because he used to be Cox and Euclid from way back.
Yeah.
That's why he started.
He's a man who understands the exploitation of music, even before a lot of artists.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
You know, even rockers, Lego, Dennis Brown, all these men learn a lot from your father.
Yeah,
well, you know?
I remember one of the days when we went up to Ministry of Finance, Mr. Edward Siaga. I can recall that meeting in 1966 or 67. I can remember that
Lego
meeting.
It was born.
And it was a nice meeting. So I've been around, you know. And I've seen a lot.
I'm saying I'm a just man, you know?
Mm-hmm. All right.
Baby.
Again, it's just that the people who are more learned, they exploit the ignorance. It goes right back to when Jesus was 12 years old in the Bible. The same thing is happening. Ain't nothing new. It's just that these youngsters born last night, they think it's new. It's not nothing new. So your job is to speak to the elders who preceded you. God has said that people who have a sense of their past are like trees without roots. Go back to the foundation. Ask them how it got started. What was the catalyst? What motivated you? Speak to these elder people, and they give you a fundamental knowledge. We're going to improve your knowledge and improve your protection, of course, and you have a good support system, because we all do need support system. You know?
Sure.
We definitely need that. We definitely need that, because you can't do it by yourself. Trust me. This thing is big, and it's getting wider and wider. It's an international business. You cannot do everything. You're fooling yourself. You got to delegate duties. And to delegate duties, you got to trust a certain amount of people around you who you think have your back. And even then, there's always that 1%, or I should say 0.5% of that doubt that sometimes creeps too. Like I said, you will never get in this business, you will never get 100%, but you can mitigate losses.
You know, a lot of the internet has real good, and it has a lot of pitfall. But young artists coming up, most of them are virtually choosing people to manage their business and take care of this, their lifeline, with people they have not known. Talk to me a little bit about that. Because
you want to take that? You want to go on that one?
Say that again, Doc.
You want to go answer that one? You want me to handle it? What you want?
I'm saying that a lot of folks, especially a lot of musicians, their entire life and business is now into the computer world. They've never met any of these folks. They've never talked to them, basically, other than they don't even know if they're talking to a recorded anything. How on earth can, you know, we help some of these upcoming musicians, because they're desperate to avoid some of these pitfalls that they're certainly about to go into by people claiming to be managers?
Yeah, you remember,
as Sultan said before, it's an individual responsibility, because sometimes it's more, a lot of things are virtual right now. You know, computer makes so much thing virtual. People say they can fabricate, so they are a record company, they are lawyers, and because you want the success and, as in say, anxiety to fame, it will mislead a lot of musicians, because that's what is misleading we today. We all want this fame and this glamour and this hype, and it's an illusion, you know? And then in the end, you lose your business. You lose your rights, your intellectual property rights.
You lose your
life.
So
it's an individual responsibility. Again.
But how you have to help these folks who are listening in make those choices? What should they look out for, though?
It's going to be hard because, again, experience teaches wisdom. If you have not the experience, you don't know the wisdom. They need to be mentored under people who have been there before, people who have walked them trenches, who can give them life experience. You see what I'm saying? They need to start going back to the elders, the people who precede them. Don't get into the hype because they got a little hit record and little girls following them around at BMW. No. Find the people who has longevity in this business and talk to them, socialize with them. I remember when I was studying Think and Grow Rich by one of the first billionaire guy. He was given the assignment to go out and find the opulent people, the people who have been doing good in business. He was given an assignment without money, no money whatsoever, and document what makes these people so prosperous. You see what I'm saying? And he went and did all that research and that study. And at the same time, he was building himself. He didn't get a dime, but the knowledge that he gained was more than money.
Mm-hmm.
You see, sometimes my grandmother said, we put the cart before the horse. That's one of our problems, because, again, we are so anxious. But if you have that knowledge, like you teach it to become a fisherman as opposed to giving him a fish every day, trust me, that's the key. And once you go out and get that fundamental knowledge, you can replicate over and over. The engine starts to set up a business. And you start to recycle these things happening. So the key is to find the mentor, the people who have longevity in this business, the people who you trust, the people you admire, the people you have some kind of social camaraderie with, and hang out with these people and just be around them. Become their friend. Become their assistant. That's what they do in Hollywood when they want to get in the movie industry. Some guys come on a call and say, hey, I want to be Warner Brothers' VP. I come serve him coffee. That's what they do, just to get their foot in the door.
Mm-hmm.
They serve coffee. You see what I'm saying? Just to be on the set. And they start hanging, and then they get their feet. Remember, they already talking to the vice president already. So after a while, they get a position. But they come there free and become his gopher, become his runner and everything. That's what they get their foot in the door.
Somebody didn't turn up to work. They just, and they have to have somebody to pitch them in.
All right. That's how it goes. But
yes.
Key is just to get your foot in
the
door.
Yeah, because everybody wants to enjoy the party, but no one wants to wash the dishes, you know? And
all right. So
you
do it what nobody wants to do and get your foot in the door. And you move from there.
Yeah,
but it's the same thing. Find the people you socialize with and talk to them and get some knowledge. It's not just about money, because a lot of times you can get the money and be broke next week. The key is to get the knowledge where you can keep recycling that money. That's the key.
Tell me something, guys. I mean, how can we even begin to solve this problem? Should, like, patron those guys and girls who have been through some hard time, rather than still going behind the glitter and we think everything is okay, should they not be, like, come out to talk about this and to really express, or we don't have a host who is digging into those things and bring it those so we can hear those things?
Well, Doc, I can't share a point on that. That is why today Shabba Rankin has his own Emperor Entertainment label, which he and his wife, who is a lawyer, take time away from the business, educate herself on him to know what's the business of the music about. And Patrice on the same road, she have her Pulse Entertainment where she control her music, control her industry, she control everything. You understand? And she's speaking, she's doing interviews, but she's taking her time, because you know all this industry said they will eliminate you too. They will eliminate you, because it's not an easy business. You know, but they are doing what they're supposed to be doing. No one, if people are looking, they will learn what Shabba is. Every time you see a Shabba ranking, you will see a Shabba with the acronym Emperor. On his shirt is marked ERE. He will not wear something that is not of his company. But unlike other artists, them in this New York out there, they wear Louis Vuitton, they're wearing people things. So he learned. If he has a battle in his hand, he will not show the label of that battle.
Wow.
You understand? Because I learned from Shabba, and as a man of me, Deron, you know, and him showed me a lot. You know? And I have even learned even from Black Uru, too. Because Black Uru is the next group that has been exploited so many years, and right now, even the people who own Black Pearl, they are living even beyond their economical needs and reality today.
Oh, Lord.
You know, they are earning less than what the value of the name Black Pearl is.
Wow.
But they are really doing what they are doing, you know, but, you know, people is not paying attention, you know. But I'm around Shawan, I'm around, I communicated Potter. Because I know Potter from she was like teenagers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And when specialists them come around on the hype, and just like Shabatua get a youth from Waterhouse who want the hype, you know, in their own tier. Shabatua will tell the same, sit around 27 guys. And right now, they are dead.
Wow. Wow.
All of them are dead. When I said dead, literally dead. And it's Jews who will tell them, say, Shabba, may I take you away, you know? Come and come down at Jammies. So probably if it wasn't for music, he would have died also. But he wasn't educated about the business of the music. That's why he ended up being so exploited as such a great talented. But at least he learned.
Mm.
You know? I know that him today trying to recoup of something that has lost many years ago as well. Sullivan say might not, you can't gain 100%, but at least you can live off it. People will say today, boy, Shabba Rankin has had too much money, or Shabba know him business. And he don't wore out himself, and he don't regularize himself.
What is that? What is that,
13? No, well, a lot of these artists, they write a million songs, you know. They just write around a million songs and,
okay. You
know. Okay. So that's prostituting a vice also. That's prostituting a vice, you know.
Okay.
And then don't protect the business of themselves, you know. So yeah, them generation have come, them children, them mother, them father can live off of what they are doing when they're deceased, you know. Mm. So I think Shabba and Patra really, they're on a good path, you know. I'm going to try to get Shabba interview with you, you know. Next time I see him, I'm going to talk to him about it, Doc. So you can have him on the program. And Patra too.
I'll be more than thankful. Because this is...
Yeah, man, I will. I will pursue it. I will.
To get those people to get the knowledge, man, because irrespective of what, I think we have a responsibility, those of us in the music, although we're not necessarily artists, but we have a treasure, as Sultan say, we have a treasure. We owe it to our country. We owe it to those who have bled blood, because, you know, a lot of our artists have bled blood for this music. Because either they say something or think something. Our great Bob Marley bled flow, Peter caught touch, and eventually to his demise. And a whole heap of artists gave their lives because of the music. So I think we have a responsibility, those who are here, to at least try to bring education, because the advent of the internet is more than prostituting our talent is coming out of Jamaica, along with a lot of them are desperate because of our economic situation. And I think that somewhere, somebody should put a special effort to really help to change the course of this, because I think that we are on a downhill slide.
Basically, it's same Shabba, basically like Shabba Rankin and Patrick. They go back to Jamaica and everything, okay? And got hooked up with the school system, so to speak, and everything, and start making speaking engagement. They can do a little hour and start telling about the experience and start educate, go to the music department of each little school, high school, or whatever, even a secondary school, and start speaking about the experience and everything. Trust me, it will be a fundamental give back to the people of Jamaica. And those up-and-coming musicians, they say, yes, I remember when I was a little boy in school. Patrick came to my high school and blah, blah. Trust me, it's a treasure that will last them for generation. And they'll give them at the same time they're educating everything. So it's going to be a win-win after a while, because somebody got to pay the price. Just like Garvey. Just like Martin, like Malcolm. Somebody has to pay the price. But we're not going to keep paying the price over and over for the same thing.
Yeah. And you said the Jamaican artist, because Shabba can't, that's how Shabba has emphasized on the elders. You will never hear Shabba Rankin do an interview and him don't talk about Yellow Man, Jose Whale, and all these greats. As they hear Sullivan say, the elders. He always speaks of the elders because that's where he learned it from. To know that you have to be guided by the elders.
That's
why
the system
and he takes that very, very serious.
Them come to divide. You know? See, back in the slave ship, you know what them do? Them take the youngsters from the elders, you know? them separate them, you know. So by them coming to the new world, they couldn't understand the mother tongue. That's what they do, divide and conquer. Now our job now in the paradigm shift, and my concept paradigm shift, is to reconnect to the diaspora, because mm-hmm. we are more than sands on the seashore. To say love to a total, that put and say, my roots are deep and wide. We're going to connect to all our brothers and sisters globally. Not just in America, globally, throughout the diaspora. Okay, it's our time now, it's a paradigm shift. The bottom becomes the top, and the top becomes the bottom.
Yeah.
It's that time.
And to this means of reggae music, Doc. It's a double standard, because
mm-hmm.
there's no stand. You do an album. So now we do an album that you know him spend $1.5 million to produce albums. But a record label won't give him $10,000 US, which him decline. Then someone will go sell an album for $5,000 US.
Yeah.
So the business have no standard bearing with it. So
yes.
A lot of our musicians and producers do this. They sell out the court. So they don't have a man say, I don't have to deal with you because I can't get it from him.
Mm-hmm.
So the business, something you're trying to defend the value of what you're worth and become the worst nightmare. You have become hated.
And that's yeah. again. We gotta hold all them so-called producers doing that, set up a symposium, some kind of meeting, and stop that stuff. We gotta stop that, the exploitation, trust me. We gotta stop that.
Mm-hmm.
But a quick gratification. $5,000, that's nothing. And lose all your intellectual property rights of publishing. That's, trust me. We gotta stop that little quick gratification, the Antomo type thing. We gotta stop the Jamaican music business. Listen, it's all music. Is going to take over the whole world. It's a new shift, you know, from Ska Rock to the all the way up. It's all music going to bring a certain amount of peace to this whole world. They cannot stop it. Jamaican music.
No, they can't. They can't. John Lennon, you know, the great John Lennon, they asked him a question, you know, which music him see as a future, and he said reggae, you know, and he was killed almost
wow.
the next week or two, you know.
Wow. Said,
the last shall be the first, and the first shall be the last. It's our time. It's I call it the paradigm shift. It's a shift in the consciousness of the people. And our music becomes a sort of a spiritual elevation that touch in the heart. Trust me, the same two beats, the rest in the heart.
Sure.
Them can't
no,
that.
Reggae music is the only music, if even the hip-hop greats and the R&B greats. Once they want to revive them career, them do reggae music. And you hear about them.
Well, where did the hip-hop come from? It comes from our music.
You understand?
Yeah, yes. Cool Herc in the New Year. Is that a Jamaican? Is that a yard thing? You know, see? So it's we.
Yes,
we have set the trend. But we have to come together now from a union. Yeah, you know, we won't exploit ourselves. We have to have a union like that, the OPEC oil union. We're going to sell oil at a certain amount per barrel. We got the same thing. We got to find them little Russian producers or put it on food and stop to that. We got to start corralling in Kingston, Jamaica, right there from, and stop the exploitations. Listen, you don't know the value of this. You are selling yourself
yeah.
for nothing. And
yes,
because
sure.
a lot of times they're not educated also. Because I think when they convert the U.S. dollars, they get some X amount of Jamaican. That's nothing. Stop selling
nothing
yourself. Like I said, stop prostituting yourself. Don't be like a stock on the shelf.
Wow. Where's
going to come? Like I said, I get calls from Europe, France, Germany. If I tell how much people push stuff to me, trust me, it's a surprise all over the world. But I already know
yeah,
the
man.
Value. I know the
yeah,
value
man.
Of I. Yeah.
People
and
want
to
have $200 for life, you're showing. People's giving you $200 for life in a song to put on an album. And if the album sell a million, there's no more to gain from it.
Lord.
If you don't know what you're signed to. You know, it happened to ladies already. They
wow.
them to sign a contract with a tune that with a group named Vitamin C for $5,000 US, and the album the tune sell millions, and there's no more gain from that for her.
Wow.
You know, so there's a lot of things you will sell out yourself, and then will make millions, and there's nothing more to gain from it.
So they delete her for mechanical rights and all. Oh man, you see.
Yes, everything. You know. And because, as we say, 5,000 multiplied by X amount in Jamaican dollar looks so enormous, which is a joke. And we are in a billion-dollar industry.
Trust me, everything's
yeah.
going back. All the big producers in America, they try to. You see, Snoop Dogg went to Jamaica, became Snoop Lion. You see, Puff Daddy, all them trying to start put some money in the Jamaican type thing because they know there's a shift. And if you don't invest...
No, when I go in Jamaica and go in Negro and on the West Coast and Ochi, that's where you find the Puff Daddy, the Jay-Z, they all go there.
All right.
They all go there.
They know their shift in the people around the world. So they come
because
in and they study
our culture and our music.
Yeah, they want to buy low in the stock market, so anytime it busts, they got the stock just blow. That's what it's all about. They're coming in from the, mm-hmm. from the bottom table.
You know?
So we got to go over there.
Puff Daddy went to Jamaica. Look to the other day, Puff Daddy went to Jamaica, and even not for the Arzan that wasn't friend, and them was quarreled each other, because Puff Daddy went there and said, 20,000 of competition, you see all the beanie mines and the this and the that on stage because of Puff Daddy, and they would not do that by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So them know that all the music is as we say, hand to mouth, and people will sell out.
Mm.
Sell them soul for a dollar.
Well,
so if we don't unite as a Sultan, they have a union for not, all right, a reggae album must value a million US. So if a man come and say, I want a reggae album, if it's substandard, they don't deal it. If it's at the standard, they got to pay this amount. It's a standard cost. But in the industry, it's not like that. Come on, sell them
these
things.
Arab from the OPEC oil type thing. When it comes to the OPEC union, so we're going to sell our oil for X amount. We got to corral all these producers in Jamaica. We got to start educating and corral them. Trust me. It's not an individual thing. It's a nationalistic thing. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. Definitely. I agree with you 100%.
So we'll get all the beanie mans and all them, the elephant mans and all who, because let them do, let them buy in the hype because they have never done their homework. And there's no longevity in this if you don't do it the right and proper way. Somebody's going to go to the bank, smile and say, oh, I didn't exploit these people. And that they're doing that right now. We cannot sell ourselves for chump change. To get a little hype for the small community. And then, oh, yeah, man, you this and you blah, blah, blah. But on a whole global scale, trust me, Jamaican music. Listen, let me say, there's 1,000 ska bands in Europe and none comes out of Jamaica. Believe it or not. Dean Fraser said it the other day.
No,
it's like
sure.
Crazy.
I went to New Orleans the other day, and when I look, I see a jazz band, a ska band, and it was all white people.
No.
There was not one black on the stage playing ska. And then playing all the great Catalan music. Then playing
the
even Prince Buster music. And
how can we not play the foundation? That's the root. We have to play, once the root dead, the limbs and branches and stems and blossoms and fruits dead. Our job is to maintain the root, and we're just coming from Skia to the Kumina and the Mentor and the Brewer and all that stuff. We got to protect the root. That's why I record everything, because I was raised on the Skia, definitely. I'm from that school. And I can tell about the dance hall in Jamaica, the Chocomola and the Liberty Hall, the Forest Hall, my father and Coxon and Duke. Trust me,
that's
I was right
the
here.
The first dance hall, man.
All right.
Yeah, the first dance hall.
No, listen. I tell somebody, Doctor, if I tell somebody, they say, listen, they have a talk about dance hall. I say, I want Beanie Man and all them know this and who will attack them today. The original dance hall is Skia dance.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. The move on.
No, this is Skia. It's where the North Street, near Dairy Farmers, Foster's Hall, up street. Don't you see that place called Liberty Hall became the Marcus Garvey Museum right now. That's the place I used to hang out with my father. Yeah, hear me? They were boxing gymnasiums, Chocomolan, yeah, hear me? Gold Coast. Those are the original dance halls. That's what I'm going on right now. They must tell the people the historical truth. And that's why I'm here to keep the history and advocate what really went down. Because those cats, when I was in Jamaica, there was no way around.
Mm-hmm.
As far as DJ, you know what I say? Colt Machuki, Uri, Big Youth, King State, who else? Scotty, yeah,
General Ekro.
But they even him come after I left Jamaica.
Okay.
Like the people me grew up with, Herman.
But as I was telling you, you know, so I have to stick by home, you know,
yeah,
but they're baby, you know.
When I go there, so one to man like Colt Machuki and Colt Stitch, and the other guy from, who's to play Tipper Tuna and Sunday. Yeah, you know?
Yeah.
You know, you know about those people.
You right.
Yes. You were in Bedford. Original from way back. The same guy, Dennis Al Capone, that England right now. They have to talk about the original people, and these youngsters don't know the history because they have never done their homework. Our job is to get them to start, go back in the past and read. There's a Sankofa principle since we are African people. It says, in order to go forward, we got to go backwards. Then we move forward. It's like parallel parking. Yes, I'm saying? Once you go backwards, you are getting the fundamental knowledge, the prerequisite knowledge, so you can deal with whatever else is going to be attacking you. But if you have the, if you do have that root knowledge, trust me, man, you have damn yourself, man.
Boy, I mean, you guys are powerful here. We definitely get some powerful information. And this is why I am digging into the roots and the fundamentals of our reggae music. And, you know, I'm reaching out to folks, people who know the core of it. We're going to be having Leo Graham on tomorrow. We're going to have Fats, our donkey from the Wailing Soul original, Fire Coleman. His last name is Norman Davis. I don't know if a lot of you remember them. But I'm trying my best to get these folks here so we can get their opportunity to archive, their experience. Next week, we're going to have, we're having Clinton Ferron, and of course, a lot of you don't know, there's another whaler other than Bonnie Whaler, Miss Beverly Kelso. She's going to be here with us as well. The history of the music need to be talked about. We need to hear about who write this and who don't write that, because how the dynamics of the music industry is not like any other. We are unique. People sit in the studio, I have 10 million songs in their head, and none of it is on paper. People write songs together, and nobody gets credit for it, but the singer, who probably never even put a word in it. I mean, and these guys did not do it, and they did not know that they were publishing rights and all of that. This is why these guys are suffering, and at their demise nowadays, people have to be collecting little dollars here and there to put them to rest. I mean, it is a horrific thing. It is horrific. And I don't think that any of this is stopping. I mean, nobody's reading. Nobody's helping. Because those people who have the knowledge is not reaching forward to give that to some of the young people who's coming. This
so
is
I agree. Because I think the more knowledge you have, the more you're going to maintain your position and everything. So we got to reach out to the people who are conscious. The people are just not just greedy, nationalistic, because we got this music must go to perpetuity from our generation to generation. And we got to hold our music. So we got to reach out, even to the parts in Jamaica, even though in my concept the word poly mean more than one. I consider myself to be a monotician, not a politician, because if there's a poly, there's some other line somewhere. Because truth is only one truth, the truth. But we got to reach out to Lisa, Hannah, and of course to our Prime Minister. We got to start doing something from a nationalistic point of view. We got to protect what we got. As a matter of fact, sometimes they don't even know what they got.
Yes.
Because
yes,
they're in the small box of Jamaica. They haven't seen the global perspective.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? They're so narrow that, I can get a Bima in Jamaica, I can get this US dollars and I convert it and blah, blah, blah. But that's nothing. You got to see the bigger pie. We are the leaders of the future right now. Jamaica, like I told the ambassador we went to school with, I told him, Jamaica is now in the world state. Dr. Vassian went to case with me back in the days. And I was thinking, Jamaica is on the cutting edge right now. We're in the world stage, so our citizens must be treated as such. It's just like going to trying to get to the UK. You got to go down there. I disrespect again. We got to use British pounds to buy the visa. We got to use US dollars, and they're in our country. You see, these we got to do something about that. The party in Jamaica needs to get more bars, get more nationalism, and start being self-serving. Because the word minister means service or servant to the people. You get to live up to your job creed and you call your description of your job. Start serving the people as they move you out. It's simple. You got to protect it from a national interest. And at the same time, you'll benefit where you're supposed to benefit. But there's no room for greed right now because we've been totally exploited, especially on the European scene right now in our music. Totally.
Wow. Hey, listen,
our job.
You guys have a responsibility. You know, I'm just holding you close to my heart, Sultan, because we have to get this out. And as I said to you, I think we have to start to give more attention to Prince Buster, revive some of the music, revive. We're talking about most Prince Buster
the Scatterlights was in town about 3 months ago. And I did a performance with them at the club, Glendale Club, Dub Club and everything. And I did the song, They Got to Come. Trust me, It's on YouTube right now. It went about, I think it's gone about 1,400 so far, so to speak. It went about real well, unrehearsed and everything. And they're going back in town in September, we'll be doing some shows together. So I'm all about that because I grew up in the root music. Even though I got to create some other kind of music and everything, but I know the root foundation, and we got to maintain. Once we maintain the roots, the whole tree will blossom. But if you discard the root, everything's going to die.
Yeah, and this is why I think that part of this process is if we get together behind Reggae Round Robin, a lot of the exploitation, I think we would really curtail a lot of that, you know, because if artists can come on here and say, hey, you produce a little music down there and come on there and 1,000, 2,000, 10,000, half a million people buy your song, it will give you a little an opportunity to educate yourself. Hopefully you won't spend it all in the bling on one place, but at least a lot of changes will come to Jamaica and the music. We're hoping that the Minister of Culture, I'm trying to get in connect with him, will be at some point. I see him trying to do something and looking at that a little bit. I don't know how aggressive he's going to be, and depends on how long he's in the politics, whether or not this is something that is going to continue on. I want to thank both of you men. I really, really love the vibration. I hope that the younger musician and even some of the elderly musician, of course, they still don't get it. They don't know their right. We talked to Born Free a couple of Saturday or Thursday ago, and he was just saying those people who have contracts with work for hire in Europe and country like France and Germany, those are null and void. I really didn't even know that. I hadn't searched. But he's in Europe and he knows a lot about these things. He's also in contention in Europe also. We have a lot of noise in the background there. Contention in Europe with the people trying to shut him out of the music as well. So there's the onus is on us. There's a lot of pressure on us for us to get together and stop this segregation and believe that we can go ahead and fight people who know the game. I'm also calling upon the young musician who just throw their cares to people who are posing as managers and directors and promoters and so on, not giving empty promises and hopeless hopes to folks who don't have any kind of concrete, any kind of knowledge of what this music is about, nor understanding them. As the Sultan say, let desperation not overtake the challenges, although it is challenging to go and get and read and get motivated by some persons who have gone on before. We need to get back to that. We need to start talking to each other before you get your music out there, before you assign managers and producers and booking agents. Get to know somebody who knows about these people, because in the long run, you may get $10 and that can fill your stomach. But in the long run, you're going to pay and you're going to pay and you're going to be bitter in the long run. So I think this is all that we can do. We can only put the word out there, and we hope that it will fall on fertile soil. Thank you again. I want to say thank you to Mightyful 13. When we talk about production in New York and producing number one music, that's the man there. Sultan.
Well, I just want to say thank you again, Dak, and for having me on the Caribbean Radio Show, the Knowledge Station, the home of the Mightyful 13 Records. And thank you also, speak to Mr. Sultan. You know,
respect,
the pleasure,
respect,
of
love, man. Love, yeah.
And meet your father, and, you know, and it's also an honor to meet you as a son of a legend, which also make you a legend.
Thank you.
And
thanks
really
for the kind words.
For your knowledge,
man,
that you have in part, you know.
Yeah, man. Love, man. Respect, man. Love.
Man, give thanks.
Give thanks. Yeah, man. Peace.
Yeah. All right, Doctor. Have a good morning. I will try to pursue that interview with you with Patron Shaba and let you know.
Blessings, blessings, blessings.
Okay,
all. I want to say thank you so much for joining us. And as usual, we're going to be here tomorrow, 8 p.m. First of all, 12 noon, we're going to be going to Costa Rica. Forrest is going to be here at noontime to 3. Then we'll have the wonderful, wonderful Mr. Ruler Brown from 3 to 7 p.m., 3 to 8, almost there. And, of course, we'll be here from 8 to 11. I want to thank you so much for listening. And I want to say take care of yourselves and each other, and we'll connect with you coming up shortly.